Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Another transmission laid out before us. It is Wednesday, the 25th day of March 2009. We'll be here for the next 4 hours. Dr. Stan Monteith will be joining us coming up the next hour. Then we're scheduled to have the author of Family of Secrets about the Bush CIA connections in studio, Russ Baker. And then we have a guest coming on. And he said he didn't mind his real name being used, but I'll double-check with him again before he comes on, dealing with mass graves being prepared. And he sent us photos of this. We've made some phone calls. We're posting that all in a story at Infowars.com in the next 30 minutes or so, also at PrisonPlanet.com. The headline, Military-Industrial Complex Prepares for Mass Graves for U.S. Citizens. Now, remember the Daily Newscatcher report, and we had the county emergency manager audio here on the show, and we have other mainstream articles where Homeland Security admits they have plastic coffins and are preparing for this. The headline, Inside Source Reveals FEMA and Department of Homeland Security Preparing for Mass Graves, Martial Law Near Chicago. Well, this is the usually quiet U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Cemetery has been unusually active lately. The National Memorial Cemetery in Arizona is a beautiful 225-acre facility located in Phoenix. For the past 45 days, early hours of the morning until sunset, a massive construction operation has been underway. Major amounts of earth have been excavated at about 9 to 10 feet deep and 600 to 1,000 feet wide. There are multiple locations on the property like this, and they're putting in... You can also check this on satellite view from Google Earth. You can see it. They are putting in all these coffins and then covering them back up just right underneath the surface of these concrete crypts. So amazing, amazing information. And we're about T-minus 30 minutes from getting the photos, the article up. We could have posted it last night, but I wanted to vet it some more. But... it just dovetails with, you know, upstate New York saying we may declare martial law for your safety and all the reports pouring in and open announcements all over the news that, oh, liaison regular army are going to be in all your major and even sub-police departments liaisoning. And, oh, the army spying on in-the-Fed protesters, including us in Dallas. In fact, it was out of Texas. Just a giant government system that has been growing and growing and growing. Because the bankers want to fully overthrow this nation financially. And once that happens, they've got to be able to suppress the population. They call it breaking eggs. You know, they kill 1,300,000 Iraqis. They feel good about it in Iraq over 6 years. You know, the U.S. banks, British banks funded the Bolsheviks that killed 50-plus million. U.S. London banks funded Hitler, funded Mao, funded Pol Pot. They fund all of them. And this is how they reorganize countries. This is how they take over and kill the middle class or imprison the middle class and convert the nation to total tyranny. And we are in the process of all of this heating up and accelerating right now. So we'll be going over that as well today. And then Webster Tarpley is going to be on with us with the latest developments on Obama and the Obama deception itself, which Webster's hailing as the best political documentary in 50 years. He doesn't usually hand out those type of compliments, but I mean, I do think it is an important film. He'll be on with us about a host of issues coming up in the fourth hour today. So, just a lot going on, a lot coming up. Also, Jason Berman's tonight, 9 to midnight, is going to have Alan Watt on with him for a few hours. That's always interesting and informative. It'll be Alan Watt's maiden voyage as a guest on with Burmese and the Info Warriors show, 9 to midnight Central Standard Time, right here on the GCN Radio Network. Our websites are PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
I was on with Mancow Muller this morning for about 10 minutes. And he brings me up on the show and he starts giggling about how I talk about imaginary blimps 100,000 feet in the air. And so I started, I had a feeling he was going to do that because he did it last time I was on about a month ago. So I said, oh, here's the LA Times headline. Here's an AP headline. I mean, can't you just Google this? Can't you just understand there are these surveillance blimps? And, you know, I'm not bashing the guy because I know that's his shtick and he's got to act like he's mainstream. And, you know, he claims he's anti-New World Order. But I was just on there with him and his co-host laughing at me. And then I read the New York Times headline about how the House has completely passed the Forced Compulsory Service Act, known as the GIVE Act. The Senate passed it and had a cloture vote, meaning they're not going to have any more debate on it. And so now they've just got to get together, basically, and have a full vote with and then pass it down to the House. And it passed by 74 to 14 with a few abstentions, people that didn't vote. So it passed with huge numbers, 321 to 105 last Thursday. We wrote stories about it at prisonplanet.com. Link to the bill, link to the subsections where it says mandatory national service. And the other host, his co-host, just said he Googled it and said, no, that's a bill about taxes, Charles Schumer. And I said, no, it's not. Now, here's the New York Times, National Service Core Bill, clear Senate hurdle. And I said, here's the Associated Press, Senate looks into expanding AmeriCorps. And then here's the United States Senate roll call vote. I mean, you can go to senate.gov/legislative and then go to the vote on the bill. On the 111th Congress first session. But, I mean, that's the level of denial going on. And this happens on lots of, quote, mainstream radio shows I go on, where it won't matter if I've got mainstream news articles about them building FEMA camps from the Houston Chronicle and Associated Press. It doesn't matter if I get the secret MIAC report with the phone numbers of the state police and the state police confirm that they put the report out. It doesn't matter even when it's in the Associated Press afterwards and all over TV and all over CNN and Fox. Still, people say I made it up. It's not real. And just the level of denial that we deal with here is staggering. And I don't mind people saying I'm making stuff up or I'm a liar, because it doesn't bother me to be attacked. But it upsets me for their mindset, and even people quoting the alternative media, because there is just such a lack of research and information, and we're always light years ahead of basically everybody. And that isn't very good, because we're not you know, perfect. I have a lot of shortcomings, and we miss a lot of things. It's just the level of denial is staggering. And the level of disinformation in the alternative media, you know, the mainstream media spins things and lies and puts out disinformation, or they lie by omission. But at the same time, just because we have to watch the mainstream media, you also have to take alternative media with a grain of salt and learn how to check things out for yourself. Learn how to look things up for yourself. I mean, I'm here talking about Pentagon directive that sets up forced national service. We have a link to it. Paul Watson has done a masterpiece. I asked him to do a master article, and by a master article, something that was encyclopedic, something that had every bit of information, every facet, every angle of the police state New World Order takeover in it, dealing with the National Compulsory Service bills moving through the House and Senate on the verge of being law. And he did that. This is just an unbelievably powerful article. It's up on prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. Senate rubber stamps national enslavement bill. And every claim we make is a link directly to the legislation or mainstream news. every claim we make. So prepare yourselves. I'm going to read this now on air into the public record. Senate rubber stamps national enslavement bill. Paul Joseph Watson, March 24th, 09. It's now the 25th. The Senate last night rubber stamped a nightmare domestic draft bill that legislates mandatory national service and creates a, quote, army of at least 7 million civilian enforcers working at the behest. See, I've been saying a million. That's what they said a few years ago. No, now it's 7 million in the legislation to start. See, it's always worse than we first have from the info. It's always worse. People accuse us of exaggerating. No, it's far worse. The Senate last night rubber stamped a nightmare domestic draft bill that legislates mandatory national service and creates an army of at least 7 million enforcers working at the behest of the government, while also containing language that threatens to ban free speech and the right to protest. Last week, we reported on the House passage of the Generations Invigorating Volunteerism and Education Act, known as the GIVE Act, which was carried with a 321-105 margin vote. It passed. A passage contained in 6104 of the original House version entitled Duties in subsection B6 states that a commission will be set up to investigate whether a workable, fair, and reasonable mandatory service requirement for all able young people could be developed. And they're already telling public school kids they have to do this now. But then 18 to 25, you're actually 3 months a year in military training. The language has been dropped out of the version passed by the Senate, but they added another clause. However, Section 120 of the bill discusses the Youth Engagement Zone program and states that service learning, that's re-education camp, literally, will be a mandatory part of the curriculum in all of the secondary schools served by the local educational agency. Notice how they call it local education agency, but this is a federal law. It's really federal agency locally. This part remains in the version passed by the Senate. Roles which will be staffed by members of the programs labeled Required National Service Corps. That's in the bill. That's in the current bill. Required National Service Corps. What's that? Required National Service. Let me say it again. Required. National Service Corps, including criminal justice, environmental stewardship, and public safety. So let me translate that. That's what the Philadelphia Daily News and AP reported in 2002, 2003, and pulled these articles. They already had Secure Corps, a subset of AmeriCorps, and it said warrant apprehension, training with M16s, fugitive apprehension, checkpoints, cordon operations. And then now all over the country, they're turning public schools into military camps run by the Army and the Marines. And then they're saying public school children have to go to it in the district. I mean, you cannot make this up. That's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's happening in Illinois, Texas, California, Georgia, Florida. Just so you know, in communist Russia and Nazi Germany, that's what the schools were, military camps. So let me translate that. When it says including criminal justice, mandatory service and criminal justice, that means being trained to be little devil dogs, little enforcers. Environmental enforcement, that's land grabbing and knocking on doors and pushing propaganda. Fire rescue and emergency personnel and other individuals with backgrounds in disaster preparedness, relief, and recovery. The bill was rubber stamped by the Senate last night, 74-14 motion. In what was described as a procedural vote, a move that creates an army dispersed to help with education, this is a quote, health services and the environment. Health services means force injections, which would vastly enlarge the notion of community organizing and allow, as Senator Barbara Mikulski, Democrat of Maryland, said tonight, for about 7 million people to be engaged in such work, reports the New York Times. Every claim we make has links. The Senate will meet tomorrow morning to formally ratify the bill and finalize amendments. Call your senator and demand that at least the mandatory language contained in the bill will be removed. References to the program as the creation of a civilian army have dominated mainstream news coverage of the legislation. We We have a link to CNN where they say Army, Army, Army over and over again. We played it here yesterday. 7 million members of the civilian army equates to about one member for every 50 Americans, a similar figure to the number of East Germans who collaborated with the Stasi and informed their own citizens during the Cold War. And the training's exactly the same. Spying on your neighbors, it's all in there. And England's passing the same stuff simultaneously. So is Australia. It's all unified. So is Canada. The Give Act is just one of many pieces of legislation that vastly expands service organizations in line with Obama's agenda to create a, quote, national civilian security force. In January, we also reported on the introduction of the Department of Defense Civilian Expeditionary Workforce, 140410. We have a link to that, that we'll see all American civilians trained and equipped to deploy overseas in support of worldwide military operations or domestically, I would add. The DOD report states management retains the authority to direct and assign civilian employees, either voluntarily or involuntarily, or on an unexpected basis to accomplish the DOD mission. Now, what did the InfraGuard that came out 2 years ago in mainstream newspapers, they reported how great it was. 50,000 secret executives in infrastructure protection armed, and they've been given license to kill during martial law their employees. Kill whoever you want. Anybody gives you a problem. See, that's who's going to be managing the new civilian force. And it says they're going to conscript nurses, doctors, police, everybody, engineers. This is slavery, just like in the Soviet Union or Germany. You can't make this stuff up. And they got 26,000 preachers and the clergy response teams. The article goes on and on. I'm going to read the rest of it when we get back. And I challenge people. You know, we do the work here. We put this together. We do the research. It's all there. The big picture. Don't even have to connect the dots. This is a clear picture right here, stated what they're doing. You better go get it at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The article is Senate Rubber Stamps National Enslavement Bill. So the Pentagon, the Congress, the President, the courts are all seamlessly doing this. They're seamlessly merging everything together. And before I get back to the article, breaking down Senate Rubber Stamps National Enslavement Bill, I have Reuters, AP, and then this Atlanta Journal-Constitution article. Listen to this. Despite protest, county proceeds with Marine School. County plans to open public high school in partnership with U.S. Marine Corps. Christine Torres, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Monday, March 23rd. This is 2 days old. DeKalb County school officials are forging ahead with plans to open a first-of-its-kind military-style public school, despite a growing campaign by activists upset by the involvement of the U.S. Marines. Now, that's not true. There's over 100 of these that we know of. But then they go on to admit that later. It says in the it's the worst thing that could ever happen in Georgian education, says Michael Burke, a county resident and spokesman for the Georgian Veterans Alliance, a group that aligns itself with the work of the Georgia Peace and Justice Coalition. The whole thing is just a ploy to help the Marines recruit, Burke said. We expect to fight it tooth and nail. The response irritated DeKalb County school officials. They said the stereotypes that proposed a Marine school and students may be interested in, the protest mounted largely through emails and letters, have not deterred them, they said. Hey, guys, do me a favor. I gave the producer last night on his desk the Reuters where it admitted it was a bunch of places. It isn't in this article. I want to read that. It's on Rob Dew's desk. You ask him to give me the other articles. This is not a training ground to send kids in the military, said DeKalb School Superintendent Crawford Lewis, whose system with 99,700 students is the state's third largest. My job is not to look after a portion of children, but all the children. One size does not fit all. For the mom who believes her child is capable of going to college but lacks discipline, this is the choice. See, and what they're doing in L.A. and Chicago, where they've had these for at least 10 years, is when your child's late to class or gets in any trouble, I mean for petty things, or puts a MySpace up making fun of the principal, they arrest them. This has been in the news. And they send them to, quote, forest labor camps. That was mainstream news out of, what, Ohio 2 weeks ago. And then they force them to go to these military schools, which are public schools. Here it is. Marine school objectors don't deter county officials. No, this is the same article. I had a Reuters on this. It doesn't matter. I can't keep track of it anymore. Point is, these are everywhere. It goes on. The county school spokesman said Monday the system has hired a commandant for the school, which system officials hope to open in August. The commandant was selected from a list of three candidates from the Marines. A memorandum of understanding with the Marines has not yet been signed. The Marine Corps Institute will be the first of its kind in Georgia and joins an expanding network. Oh, it is in the article. And joins an expanding network of schools nationwide. Let me go back to the first line of the article. County school officials are forging ahead with plans to open the first of its kind military-style public high school. Then you read down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 paragraphs, and then they admit the truth. The Marine Corps Institute will be the first of its kind in Georgia and joins an expanding network of schools nationwide. The first public military academy opened in Richmond, Virginia in 1980, and more than a dozen now exist in places from New York to Wisconsin. Now it's over 100. Now, they passed a law, 3 years ago to allow recruiting in the schools, and it said in the bill, and they do it now. Well, they'll have access at lunch in the playground in middle school and high school. And it came out in Houston and Denver and New York because some of the kids were smart enough to record it. Their parents would tell them to. They go, "Listen to me, buddy. You sign these documents and go to the military, you're going to prison. This is an order from the president. You sign the agreement to go into the Marines or the Army." In the case of Houston, it was the Army. "Or you're going to prison." And then they said, "Oh, we'll investigate these guys in these cities doing this." And then they actually promoted the people that got caught, because that's their policy, is to threaten them with going to prison if they don't sign up. So you send your children to a government reeducation camp to be terrorized by troops that threaten them to join the military or they'll be arrested. That's why they're setting up portable buildings outside all the schools with judges in them. They have this in Austin. You're late to class three times. They call it a criminal truancy, though that's 14 in one semester in Texas. So they violate the law. It's not even a law. They call the parents in before the judge. They have them every week. They put this on our local news. They scream at them and say, "Sign the documents, waive your child's rights, or I'll have you arrested for contempt." It's terrorism. Judge can't do that. But the parents on the news sign the paper. The kid now goes into the military's hands. I mean, this is slavery. I'm going to come back and more into this and into the national draft. It's here. This is what they're doing. They're taking over, just like we're a third world nation. This is as hardcore as it gets. We will continue after the break. You know, mainstream news, radio, it's just a bunch of bubbling and giggling and snickering, feeding the public mindless pap. Not here. It's all hardcore information. And thanks to you, ladies and gentlemen, spreading the word about this radio show. It is exploding on the AM and FM dial. The internet numbers are just climbing. And we continue on this trajectory within a year. If they don't shut the web or cripple it by then, It's this show alone, the website's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. It's just going to be so massive, it's unbelievable. And it's another testament to what we can do together, fighting the globalist. Now, that military-industrial complex prepares mass graves for U.S. citizens article is up on Infowars.com. We sent photos and two different groups. We've also got a video that should be up by the end of the day. We just got. We have this gentleman coming up in a couple hours here on the show, but that's coming up next. This is an exclusive to Infowars.com. Despite protest, county proceeds with Marine school. And it says the Marine Institute in Georgia will be the first of its kind in Georgia and joins an expanding network of such schools nationwide. The first public military academy opened in Richmond, Virginia in 1980. And more than a dozen now exist in places from New York to Wisconsin. One proponent has been Arne Duncan, recently nominated as the nation's education secretary after leading the Chicago public school system since 2001. Chicago opened the nation's first public high school run by the Army's Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps and now features a 6 full-site military academies in Chicago alone. You see? And it just goes on from there. Now, continuing with the article that Paul Watson wrote, Senate rubber stamps national enslavement bill. In January, we also reported on the introduction by the Defense Department of the civilian expeditionary workforce that will see American civilians trained and equipped to deploy overseas and domestically in support of worldwide military missions. The DOD report states management retains the authority to direct and assign civilian employees either voluntarily or involuntarily or on an unexpected basis to accomplish the DOD mission. Through the civilian expeditionary workforce program is restricted to DOD, similar programs have already been established in public sector workers. Remember about 4 years ago they were talking about drafting professionals? Well, we're only going to draft doctors to make them join the military and nurses and firemen. See, the Pentagon says they want this. One such program has seen hundreds of police, firefighters, paramedics, and utility workers recently trained and dispatched as terrorism liaison officers in Colorado, Arizona, California to watch for suspicious activity. And truck drivers, too, I would add, 500,000 of them, which is later fed into secret government databases. Similar initiatives have been introduced into other Western countries, including recently in the UK, with the announcement that MI5 is currently training up to 60,000 UK citizens as part of a civilian network of terrorism spotters, according to Prime Minister Gordon Brown and Home Secretary Joaquin Smith. And in the training there and in the U.S., they say that carpet cleaners, plumbers, when they're in your house, spy on you. In addition, Obama's Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, publicly stated his intention to help create universal civilian defense training in a book he wrote and on C-SPAN in 2006-2007. In an interview with Ben Smith of the New York Daily News, Emanuel outlined the agenda for the military-style training, essentially a domestic draft aimed at preparing Americans for a chemical or biological terror attack. Asked by Smith about the Universal Service Plan and whether people would have to live in military barracks, Emanuel laughed before responding. We're going to have universal civil defense training somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25. You will do 3 months of training, but there can be nothing wrong with all Americans having a joint similar experience of what we call civil defense training or civil service in the service of the country in preparation, which we all give people a sense of what it means to be an American. It will be a common experience and will be prepared, God forbid, this is a quote, that there is a chemical hit, another terrorist attack or natural disaster becoming more frequent. There'll be a body of citizens who are ready and capable and trained. That's all you have to think about, said Emanuel, before smugly declaring, we're all here for you, okay? It's a circle of love. Ask if the training would be military style with people wearing uniforms, Emanuel stated. If you're worried about, are you going to have to do 50 jumping jacks? The answer is yes, adding that the service could be done throughout the state National Guard. That's what it is. See, they're introducing it like soup kitchens and things, but when you read all the bills and what they're doing, it's military. And then there's environmental tattletale corps and force inoculation corps. It's all there. It goes on. Ask if the training would be military style of people wearing uniforms. Emanuel said, if you're worried about, are you going to have to do 50 jumping jacks? The answer is yes, adding that the service could be done through state National Guard. Shockingly, the GIVE legislation also contains language that could completely demolish the First Amendment. The 12th Amendment to the Act states, amendments to prohibit organizations from attempting to influence legislation, organize or engage in protest, petitions, boycotts, or strikes, and assist, promote, or deter union organizing. So see, they force you into national service, then you have no First Amendment. As Gary Wood writes, those in support of this legislation will argue this amendment is limited in scope and is not meant to interfere with the rights of citizens to protest, petition, boycott, or strike in resistance to government-proposed laws. However, the people associated through the service under the GIVE Act are considered volunteers, still free citizens. Yet it will be unlawful for them to take part in any protest against any legislation. This is as close to the Sedition Act, a violation of the First Amendment rights, as have been proposed in recent history. A basic right, as part of our natural and inalienable rights, is to resist government. Our founders not only knew it was the right, but it was a responsibility. The legislation begins to break that down significantly. Fears about Obama's plans to create involuntary servitude and domestic spy squads were first stoked in July of 2008 when Obama told a rally in Colorado Springs, the real seat of government in the U.S., by the way, NORTHCOM, Space Command, "We cannot continue to rely on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives we set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded." Despite denials that Obama plans to institute a mandatory program of national service, his original Change.gov website stated that Americans would be required to complete 50 hours of community service in the middle school and high school, 100 hours of community service in every college year. The text was only later changed to state that Americans would be encouraged to undertake such programs. Numerous other national service bills have been introduced, which target everyone from school children to the elderly. They include the Service for All Ages Initiative, the Summers of Service Act, the Semester of Service Act, the Encore Service Act, and the Action Act. Regarding the Give Act, the bill's opponents, and there are only a few in Congress, say it would cram ideology down the throats of young volunteers. That's what it's federal. Total federalization of what's left in the school's sovereignty, many of whom could be forced into service since the bill creates a congressional commission on civic service. We can tribute our time and money under no government coercion or scale the rest of the world doesn't emulate and probably can't imagine. Again, we contribute our time and money under no government coercion on a scale that the rest of the world doesn't even emulate and probably can't imagine, said Luke Sheehan, contributing editor to the Family Security Foundation. The idea that government should order its people to perform acts of charity is contrary to the idea of charity. Well, it's not charity. It's government-directed propaganda. And it removes the responsibility for charity from the people to the government, destroying private initiative. Lee Carey of the Conservative American Thinker warns that Obama's agenda is to tap into the already active volunteerism of millions of Americans and recruit them to become cogs in a gigantic government machine grinding out his social reengineering agenda. The passage of such shocking legislation, with barely a whimper from the political activist groups, goes to show how well the corporate media has performed its camouflaging the legislation with flowery characterizations of helpful volunteerism, when in reality the bill creates the pretext for mandatory national service and the creation of a multi-million man domestic civilian defense unit who will be tasked with spying on their fellow Americans under the justification of protecting the country from terrorism. And under that, he has some recent articles that nexus in. House passes mandatory national service bill. Senate to push carbon tax enslavement bill. Democrats introduce public national service bills. Senate passes $819 million economic stimulus bill. Rahm Emanuel wants compulsory service for your kids. On and on and on. And as lengthy and detailed as that article is, it doesn't scratch one-tenth of the open statements and admissions that this is total martial law and spying on your neighbors. They're training the kids and the college people of your trash can dumps over to call the police on you because you've engaged in an environmental crime. They're already being arrested in England for that. I mean, this is just wall-to-wall, insane, frothing tyranny. My producer is at the door. What's going on, Rob? Okay, thank you. Man, they're giving me so many articles. You guys are awesome. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the next ultra-massive news story. Strip search of girls test limits of school policy. Oh, yeah. They strip search them everywhere. It's all part of the freedom. They use males to strip the girls. See, they're blast. That's the New York Times. They're blasting past just any decency in setting these precedents. Okay, let me get to the FEMA mass grave story here. This is exclusive to Infowars.com. We've got video coming soon to the report. This is from Shepard Ambellus. Very brave to want his name put on this. Military-industrial complex prepares mass graves for U.S. citizens. And you want to do something, this is what you do. You start your own news website. You go out and you cover cameras going up, police checkpoints, government corruption, what's going on at your city council. You put up bumper stickers around town, flyers. You'll end up getting on local talk radio. Your site will build. And then you could just publish articles that you write for us yourself, and we'll just link to you. Or if you want to send us the articles and the documentation and vet it, which has been done, we will post it on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So we want to commend more and more of you sending us reports. Military-industrial complex prepares mass graves for U.S. citizens. I know we're working on this, but I just want to remind Rob, because we'll suspend one of the later guests if we have to do this, to go ahead and call the military cemetery and get their director on right now, because we should have, I know we're working on that, we need to get them before everybody starts calling them, because then they'll get scared and won't come on. We need to, because like every time we tell you there's a military checkpoint, a gun confiscation drill, people don't believe it. We've got to have the colonel on to admit it on air, but tell you how great it is. So call the cemetery, guys. Call the cemetery. Yeah, I know we're on that, but just call the cemetery. Military-industrial complex prepares mass graves for U.S. citizens. A usually quiet U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs cemetery has been unusually active lately. The National Memorial Cemetery of Arizona is a beautiful 225-acre facility located in Phoenix, Arizona. For the past 30 to 45 days in the early hours of the morning until sunset. See, that's what's scary. It's secret. A massive construction operation has been underway. Major amounts of earth have been excavated. You'll see the photos. Out of about 9 to 10 feet deep and 600 to 1,000 feet wide. There is multiple locations on the property like this from the satellite view that appears to be more sections that have been covered with the concrete lids and backfilled to look as if nothing is there. ABC rock is put in place under the burial vaults for good drainage and soil bedding. This will help not contaminating groundwater sources for decomposition of human bodies. Remember all the FEMA coffins in Georgia and Colorado? Remember the report that we went over from the Daily Newscaster with the county official out of Indiana? Insider source reveals FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago. It goes on here. The cleanliness of the heavy equipment operation and the large perfect cuts of earth is impressive. These massive concrete boxes are transported from a nearby storage yard on various privately owned flatbed semi-trucks, then unloaded and put into place a half mile away from the actual gravesite. They are installed tight together, side by side, with no space in between. Seeing the regular graves have the space. An interview was conducted between my friend and a truck driver involved in this operation. After beating around the bush for 10 minutes, the driver admitted, "I got paid a whole lot of money to speak good English. Take it for what it's worth, but that sounds suspect." The truck driver also admitted, "Each burial vault holds 4 caskets. I took note that if the caskets were not used, you could fit 40 bodies or more in each one. So if these were to hold 4 troops each, and a truck driver did not know what he was talking about, then this would mean there are plans in advance for 4,000 U.S. soldiers' deaths." That sounds like Pakistan. If these do not contain caskets and only bodies are inserted, there could be room for 40,000 civilian bodies. Editor's note, on February 11, 2009, D.H. Williams, writer for the Daily Newscast, reported on the revelations of an Indiana County municipal official in the vicinity of Chicago, who we played the interview with, who revealed how FEMA and DHS were attempting to prepare county officials to prepare a hazard mitigation plan to deal with floods, fires, highway winds, and tornadoes. FEMA inquired if and where mass graves could be placed in the county, and would they accept bodies from elsewhere, writes Williams. Yeah, and so if there were to hold 4 troops each and the truck driver didn't know what he was talking about, then this would mean that there are plans in advance for over 4,000 dead U.S. troops or 40,000 dead civilian bodies. Okay, so I babbled through that article. There you have it. And again, we sent the photos in 2 different groups. Kurt's going to post more photos. And we have that satellite photo. It needs to be posted. Or Kurt, you can just go up to Google Earth and get another photo, the current one of the Memorial National Memorial Cemetery of Arizona. But They're doing this secretly at night. They're covering the grave vaults up with a thin layer of soil. And they're stacking the vaults side by side, snugly up against each other. That's not how regular graves are prepared. They're smaller vaults for an individual person, and there's generally about 4 or 5 feet on either side to the north, south, east, and west. So this is definitely mass graves. This is definitely either four troops or U.S. citizens or both. And they're building these suckers. Again, I keep mentioning it on air, and I have been so busy I don't have time to go pull it up because I've done searches and can't find it, but I know our listeners can. Maybe it's been posted in the Prison Planet forum. But I remember in 2002, headline, Rocky Mountain News, governor says state prepared with mass graves and incinerators. And it said they could burn, I think it was 15,000 bodies an hour, or was it a day? We need that article. That's a key article. I know I read it on air probably 10 times when it came out. We'll integrate this all in together. We'll beef up this article that this listener sent us. We've got him coming on in a couple hours. We'll come back, cover more news, and Dr. Stan Monteith is going to be joining us. Stay with us. Well, the emails are pouring in from listeners around the country who have seen similar mass crypt graves being put in and then covered back up. Sherry writes from Abilene with her phone number. Sherry, please get out there, take photographs, and just like you're visiting graves, and email it to robd@infowars.com. Alex, there is a new cemetery on our FM 600 outside Abilene, Texas. It sprung up about 9 months ago. The same thing is going on. Lines of holes with cement liners and gravel around it. It is huge. I do not have any pictures. It shook me up to see it. Well, Shelly, we need you. I mean, even if you don't own a camera, go buy a $5, $6 disposable. You can take snapshots in Target and other places. I know Abilene's got that. You can take it, have them scan it for you into files, and you'll get... send you a couple Obama deceptions. You know, just give us your address if you want us to, in a roundabout circumnavigation, pay for the camera. Just get out there, take the photos, folks. This is going on everywhere. FEMA admits they've got millions of these plastic coffins all over the country. You know, we broke that a long time ago, and I guess about 7 years ago, people didn't believe us. Now it's big news, and folks go out and videotape it and talk to the local caretakers, and you know, you can read the company name, and it's a company that sells coffin liners. And they are putting these in all over the country, and there's a good chance they're going to release bird flu or something on us, folks, and I'm sorry they're going to kill a lot of us. I mean, I've tried to fight them. I've tried to do the best job I can. That's why we don't screw around here on this show and infight and things like so many people in our movement do. It's just unbelievable. Because the time is so short with all of this, we don't have any time to screw around. But the story's up on Infowars.com. Military-industrial complex prepares mass graves for U.S. citizens with the photos and everything. And... Again, we have Dr. Stan Monteith coming up in about 4 minutes. In fact, go ahead and get him online, John, please. And then we've got Russ Baker, Family of Secrets book on Bush. He was here in town, covered by C-SPAN, and will be in studio with us reportedly. Then we have Shepard coming on, who took the photos of the mass graves. We've called the cemetery. The director's not there. We keep calling back to see when he gets in. Webster Tarpley is also on the show today. So it is definitely getting crazy. This is a wicked, murderous, criminal, illegitimate government. And if we don't wake up to that and get the word out that they're taking over through martial law, quietly federalizing everything, and setting up national conscription for basically everybody, this isn't just a draft. This is slavery. And the old Soviet Union and East Germany and places and China, they would just tell people, you know, okay, 10 hours a week, you got to show up and dig ditches, or you got to show up and work in the fields and on top of whatever else you do. And Stalin in Ukraine and other areas for several decades wouldn't even let people have their own gardens. They wouldn't even let them keep an acre of their own land, and tens of millions starved. And finally, when Stalin died, they started letting them have these little, quarter acres. They have a name, Solzhenitsyn writes about them. And those little plots produce most of the country's food, because the big communal farms didn't work and fell apart. See, it's all about institutionalizing us, getting control of us, getting us in the system, so we're dependent on the state. And I just hope everybody will realize that's Obama's agenda. That's the elite's agenda. That's the Republicans' agenda as well. And the Obama deception shatters that left-right paradigm, and I'm very excited this film has gone mega-viral all over the web. I'm very excited people are ordering the high-quality DVD and making copies of it, getting it out to people at Infowars.com. We're getting PrisonPlanet.tv memberships and downloading it in super high-quality DivX and burning it to disk. That's the best and quickest way to get it and get it out to people. You can burn them on a CD and it plays in DVD players, and it's much cheaper. You know, a blank DVD might cost $1, but a blank CD costs like 20 cents. And you can give people the film. Please go crazy with this information. PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Stan Monteith coming up in a few minutes, talk about a host of important issues. We'll get into the mass graves being constructed all over the country, and then Webster Tarpley. In my other big stacks of news, Stiglitz anticipates New World Order. That's right, another New World Order headline. Got a Homeland Security conference going on in San Antonio, Texas. Lots of brainwashing the police and military against the people. Another headline here, can private security guards act as cops? That's exactly what they may soon be doing on the far side. This is in Chicago as society collapses by design. Look at Mexico collapsing because of drug prohibition. I was listening to BBC driving home last night at like 11, and they had a Mexican government official on going, isn't it American guns that are causing all the problems in Mexico? Don't you need tighter gun restrictions in the United States? And the Mexican official, he said, no, it's the drug prohibition. That's what's causing all of this, just like prohibition in the United States caused all the collapse of society with alcohol. And the BBC said, thank you very much for that, and ended the interview. China calls for new global currency. That's Obama got asked about that last night and kind of went sideways on it. Here's an interesting technology report out of the Wall Street Journal. Behold the appearance of the invisible cloak. Scientists find new ways to bend radio and light waves, making objects invisible to radar and the naked eye. Yeah, they've had this for more than a decade, and I tell people about it. I mean, I've seen it on Discovery Channel. They have tanks that have a plastic video skin that has cameras all over it to project, you know, to pick up what's on the other side of the tank, and then it's like a chameleon skin. And so it looks like the movie Predator, you know, where the alien, like, shimmers. That's all you can see. It's like looking through an inch of water. It's like a phantom. And so that's what they already have. So that's some of what's coming up. By the way, there's another Wall Street Journal article I'll get to later with Dr. Stan Monteith when we come back from the break. Obama has announced what we knew he was going to announce. Hundreds of new taxes. Carbon taxes, new regulatory taxes, unfunded mandates with the states passing taxes. They passed 84 new taxes in New York State alone. But they're saying they're going to basically pull out hundreds of exemptions, your mortgage exemption, you name it, out of the Internal Revenue Code. Capital improvements, like if I buy a video camera. Oh, sorry, you can't write that off, or you can't write but half of it off. So you literally can't operate and have a business. And the Wall Street Journal reports hundreds of new taxes within the code. But, you know, the headlines are Obama to fix the half a million page, or it's actually 600 and something thousand page Internal Revenue Code. And then you read deeper into the article, with new taxes and closing loopholes. Because if you look at the OECD that really manages the global government taxation system through the central banks, they call the United States a tax avoidance haven. And the few other countries that have taxes where you're only paying about 40% federal, because you pay on average about 30%, and you've got the 10% or so with Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all the, or if you're an employer, then you got to match that, so you're paying even more. Oh, yeah, if you're paying your employee $15 an hour, The employer's having to slap another $5 on average on there, and that's in states like Texas that don't have that bad of a tax code. Most other states slap all these other state taxes on, and Texas is now passing those feverishly. So, see, it's bad. It's bad. That's the type of stuff employers have to match. The Social Security have to match it all. And they're talking about increasing the Social Security taxes as well. So enjoy that being taken out of your check. Oh, it's only tax increases for people making $250,000 divided by two. So it's $125,000, husband and wife. Well, you're going to pay all the new taxes, but actually it's on everybody that pays income tax. So we'll cover that as well. Dr. Stan Monteith coming up straight ahead on the one, the only GCN Radio Network.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
For more than four decades, Dr. Stan Monteith has fought the New World Order. He's one of the icons, like G. Edward Griffin and Bob Chapman and people that have been fighting for 40, 45 years. Jack McClam, 30 years. People like Red Beckman for 50 years. And we stand on their shoulders. He's got a show here weeknights on the Genesis Network syndicated. Last time I checked over, 40-something stations. Dr. Stan Monteith, just an amazing individual. We've got him for the next 52 minutes with us. And there's just a whole bunch of things in the news. The House and Senate have passed, but now it's got to go into conference. But it's passing by, 300-plus votes to 100 votes, 74 votes to 14 votes in the Senate. It's going to pass is what it appears right now. It has passed the Senate and the House. Now they've got to iron it out, and it openly states national draft. For seniors, young people, military training 18 to 24, others will be forced inoculation squads under health emergencies because we have their documents and their own statements. Law enforcement, criminal justice, literal youth brigades with weapons. That's mainstream news. It is off the charts. The bankers are bankrupting the country right now, bringing in world government openly, and announcing a new Bank of the World and a new supercurrency that the World Bank and IMF are already issuing, backed up by taxpayer money. It is just the greatest theft and fraud and scam ever seen. They are openly putting military liaison officers in every major police department, even small departments. They are openly using the military at checkpoints all over the country. They are openly telling police agencies, get ready for martial law. It's openly in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, PDD 51. It's openly in public Pentagon directives and the Army War College, the Phoenix newspaper. I mean, it's just everywhere. A total nightmare. Dr. Stan Monteith, after four-plus decades fighting the globalists, as they built this architecture, the U.S. was a big target to take down. We, I believe, are now at the flashpoint. They are preparing to go red or go hot on us, and this is the moment of truth in the next 12 to 18 months. Do you concur?
Absolutely agree. I think that but we have the option, you know, we have the opportunity to reach people now that we never had before. And I think there are more people out there listening than ever before because they know something's wrong. They're looking for answers, and you've got them.
Specifically, boil it down. The globalists from their own documents, because you're a stickler on that, master plan, what they're doing with the worldwide economy, how you see this breaking down with the military and police, because I'm talking to them, most of them are awake. So I think the globalists have miscalculated, but break down the big picture.
Well, basically, what they've done is they've artificially created a financial crisis. This whole thing is contrived from the get-go, and we could spend hours just talking how they've done it, but be that as it may, the whole world economy is collapsing. And this was done very intentionally, because you can't have a world government if you got a few countries out there that are independent and where people could flee to, you know, as they fled from Hitler's Germany, you know, during before the Second World War, the Jews could, at least some of them could get out. But there's no place to flee to today, because every country in the world, their economy is collapsing, their banks are are simply becoming insolvent, and that's going to be the excuse that's used to bring this new economic order, this new world government. Henry Kissinger, I know certainly you well aware of the article he wrote on the 12th of January in the International Herald Tribune, where he in essence said that this is a wonderful opportunity, this financial crisis, and we have two options, either a new international order or chaos. Well, you know, most people do anything rather than live in a society where there's anarchy and chaos.
And I would just
that's
add,
how they're going to bring this thing about.
I would just add, he also said that word for word on MSNBC, and then all the people started parroting the talking point all over the news. Go ahead.
And certainly, I think what they're going to do here in the United States is destroy the value of our currency. I mean, what they're doing, they're talking about, you know, it's a trillion, $1.25 trillion to begin to bail out the banks and buy up the toxic assets, and then another $300 billion here, another $200 billion there. And what they've admitted now is they've started to monetize our currency. In other words, they're simply going ahead and printing money. There's a wonderful little article at the Wall Street Journal I just found talking about how they don't have to borrow money. They can just go ahead and print money and massively expand the monetary supply. And then the article concludes with a statement, and when the economy begins to turn to normal, they hope that they're going to be able to get all this money out of the system and prevent runaway inflation. They hope. Well, I don't they say that they hope, but I really believe there are people who want to destroy our currency, and they want to create this chaos, because that is the vehicle by which they're going to bring about this one world government. And you know who they are, but our listeners need to understand that the Trilateral Commission is probably the apex of the one of the secret organizations that exist today. Or you can go up to their website, but they're never going to tell you what they're really up to. They're never going to tell you that they put Barack Obama in power. I mean, who were his largest contributors? The second largest contributor was Goldman Sachs Bank. And they, of course, they are head of that, CEO of that, is currently a member of the Trilateral Commission. Another large contributor was J.P. Morgan Chase, and they come from the from the Trilateral Commission, Citigroup, and certainly the major financial houses in the United States are either currently members of the Trilateral Commission or they have been members of the Trilateral Commission, and they are all dedicated to this idea of a world government. They are a subversive group. They want to destroy America. But what is most significant is, and what most people have missed when they discuss this, is the powerful spiritual forces behind this whole movement. And you get into the background of the control of finance, and you find out that many of these people are involved in the occult. You can go up on the internet and, for instance, Google J.P. Morgan, or go to one of the word searches and go to J.P. Morgan and type in the occult. And you'll find out that J.P. Morgan, certainly one of the most powerful forces in finance in the United States for, you know, three-quarters of a century, J.P. Morgan was deeply involved in the occult. Many members of the Rockefeller family are involved in the occult.
And they finance hundreds of public occult organizations. Let me stop you there and read a Barry Goldwater quote that he wrote in his book. It says, the Trilateral Commission is the international and is intended to be the vehicle for multinational consolidation of the commercial and banking interests by seizing control of the political governments of the United States. The Trilateral Commission represents a skillful, coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate the four centers of power, political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical.
Absolutely. And people don't understand that this is a subversive organization, and the least 11 members of the Trilateral Commission hold key positions in the Obama administration, from the National Security Council to the Chief of Security.
It's a revolving door. A bunch of trilateralists and CFR people left when Bush went. They went back into the think tanks to set policy. And then those that had been on the bench, they went into the administration. So it's a revolving door.
Well, what most people would find it very difficult to believe is that since 1976, every president and or every vice president of the United States. Sometimes it's both, sometimes it's just one, have been members of the Trilateral Commission up to the current administration, and now, of course, here they have nine people. If that were true, why hasn't somebody told the American people? Why hasn't somebody told the American people that these people almost always control the State Department? I mean, Hillary Clinton's husband was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and certainly, you know, they almost always control the Department of Defense. They almost always control the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Their people are always in key positions, and there's only, well, at the present time, there are only 87 American citizens who are a member of the North American group of the Trilateral Commission.
Well, did you see James Jones in the National Security Council on CFR website saying he takes his orders from Henry Kissinger?
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what administration it is. The same puppet masters are behind the scenes.
And, of course, James Jones, General Jones, is a member. He's one of the 87 members from North Americans who are members of the North American group. I mean, how could that possibly be? His assistant, Thomas Donilon, is a member of the Trilateral Commission. Here's a small cabal, and they are a cabal, and they work secretly behind the scenes, they control the media. I mean, you find that the people who control the Washington Post and Newsweek magazine, their CEO, Mr. Graham, is a member of the Trilateral Commission. Mr. Zuckerman, who controls U.S. News and World Report. You go down the list, and of course, you can go to my website, radioliberty.com, and we have all of this in my, I think, in my, it'll be the February newsletter. It's not up quite yet, but it will be shortly. But, and certainly I know you have the information as well. People have to understand these people control the media. They control banking, but they control the government. And what Barry Goldwater warned back in 1979 in his book, With No Apologies, has come to pass. And the reason people aren't concerned is because the media is controlled. And that's why what you do and what the other people on alternative radio do is so vitally important. People have to understand there is this secret cabal, but behind this, are powerful spiritual forces, and that has always been their goal.
I mean, yeah, Doc,
this movement has been around for, mm-hmm. for 3,000 years.
We've got a break.
World government.
We've got a break. When we come back, I want to get into the occultic nature of this, and even if you're an atheist, if you just scientifically, from a view of anthropology or psychology, study what the elite believe in, they are Satan worshipers, but they believe Satan is God, Lucifer, the devil. And they believe mass death is a sacrament to their God. We'll come back with Dr. Stan Monteith and a lot more. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here live. We're going to start simulcasting the last 2 hours, starting in T-minus 35 minutes, 40 seconds. At prisonplanet.tv, as we do daily in the 9 to midnight central. Jason Burmess, the Info Warrior, comes in, does his own live show with powerful guests and news, analysis, information. All 3 hours simulcast at prisonplanet.tv. All right, Dr. Monteith, you know, you've written The Brotherhood of Darkness. You know, we understand they're setting up world government. They've now revealed themselves. It's out in the open. But what makes them tick? Why are they eugenicists? What do they believe in? We have the 1996 UN Biological Diversity Assessment passed as world law by the UN saying that they want to reduce population for Gaia. So, it's even in official government, world government documents that this is all about the occult.
Well, really, one of the big problems today is most people do not understand the Gnostic faith. But the Gnostic faith is one of the most prominent faiths in America today, and is based upon the assumption that there are two gods. There's the inferior God that the Christians worship, and the real God is Lucifer, and he's the one, of course, that will give you total freedom. I mean, he doesn't have any restrictions on you. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. No, Lucifer gives you total freedom, and not only that, he'll give you great wealth and prosperity, if you, of course, give your allegiance to him. And as incredible as it may be, why there really are millions of people in America who who knowingly are involved in this, and many who do not know they're involved in it, who are involved with the New Age or many of the other alternative religions out there, but they don't understand the basis of this faith is Gnosticism. Now, fortunately, you can go up on the Internet and you can begin reading up there about Gnosticism, and Google. We do have the opportunity to have information that's never been readily available before. If you go to, for instance, the Lucis Trust website, and I suggest you go to a search engine and Google in Lucis Trust and then Lucifer, and you'll go to their website, and they'll tell you that, yes, they did come out of an organization known as the Lucifer Publishing House, and then they have a link to an article that somebody had written about Lucifer. And, of course, you go there, and they tell you that Lucifer really is a pretty good guy. You know, he just got a bad rap. But he came to Earth to suffer for humanity, and what we've really got to do is give our allegiance to him, because he is the God that will give you so much. And the trouble is, Alex, that there are many people who actually, you know, come into allegiance with Lucifer, and they have prospered. Some of the richest people in America have given themselves to the dark side, and they've amassed tremendous wealth and power and fame. There's an organization, it's in Colorado, it's called La Bacca Grande, and we have an article from West Magazine that tells how, you know, Henry Kissinger used to go to La Bacca Grande, which is where the occultists and the witch doctors and the shamans and the people involved with all of the occult and the dark arts meet on a regular basis. And according to the article in West Magazine, Henry Kissinger and Robert McNamara would go there frequently. And, of course, you have to remember Robert McNamara was the man who sent our boys. He was Secretary of Defense under the Kennedy. And
yeah, that's Maurice Strong there. And there's also, of course, Tony Blair and his wife, Mainstream News, doing weird rituals. They're obsessed with this.
Right. But this is what people find it so difficult to believe. But the common denominator behind all of these is these powerful spiritual forces, these people who've given themselves to the dark side. And you will find people within the Rockefeller family, for instance, Lawrence Rockefeller, actually financed the writings of Barbara Marks Hubbard, who's one of the leading New Agers and occultists in the United States, who's actually talked and written about the necessity of killing a quarter of the world's population. And as she says in the original manuscript of her book, The Revelation, the Book of New Creation, you know, there's this quarter of the world population that won't evolve to a higher level of consciousness. They're going to have to be removed. And that is not your job, my dear. That is ours, because we are the riders of the pale horse.
And yes. That was then financed by the Pentagon and taught to special forces, and they call it the Earth First Battalion. That's kind of where the name Earth First for the environmental group came from. But then publicly they tell folks, oh, we're atheists, we're agnostics, you're a kook if you believe in spirituality. But then when you actually read their real writings and what they really push, they're totally into the occult.
Absolutely. Stephen Rockefeller, Nelson Rockefeller's son, was one of the architects of the Earth Charter. And you ought to read that. I mean, it's basically the Mein Kampf for what's going on today. I mean, you mentioned the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It's there. Agenda 21 is there. The Earth Charter is there, written by Stephen Rockefeller. Tells us how we're going to have to redistribute the wealth of this country. Equitable distribution of wealth between nations. That's why they're shipping our manufacturing, our wealth overseas.
Got a break. Got a break. We are back live. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the free podcast. Over 130,000 people a day downloading it for free. Serves out every day at the end of the show at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. And growing by several thousand new people getting the podcast every week. Millions listening to the live transmission on the AM and FM dial. The internet streams at Infowars.com and Global Shortwave, WWCR, not to mention all the great folks that upload the audio with video of this show to YouTube, Google, everywhere else. Millions of views every week together in the aggregate. This is exciting. We are taking on the New World Order. We're going to go back to Dr. Stan Monteith here in just a moment. I want to encourage listeners of this worldwide broadcast to not screw around. You don't have to buy the Obama deception. There is a good, clean upload with close to 600,000 views of hundreds of uploads of it. It's in the tens of millions now total that we've counted. But there's one good, clean upload that we've been promoting at InfoWars.com. That's a pretty good free copy from a YouTube channel called Change to Channel. And he's got a director's account, so it's all in one piece, 112 minutes. Please, we made the film. We busted our hind ends to expose the left-right paradigm, how Obama is meant to bring in the New World Order. It is such an important film. It exposes the controlled right and the controlled left. Please, get, you can just Google the Obama deception, and it's the second link, the cruddy Google version of it, because it has more views is above it, but Change the Channel, a YouTube version is below it. Or if you want to financially support us and for your library, have the very best copy available, get the super high-quality DVD with a nice color cover and everything at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. We are going to go right back to Dr. Stan Monteith in just one moment. First, I want to tell you about one of the sponsors that makes this radio show possible. It's Home Gain. Let me tell you a little bit about one of our great sponsors, HomeGain.com. This is the place to get you started buying or selling a home, finding a realtor, and getting any real estate questions answered. HomeGain.com. Check it out and see what I'm talking about. All you need to do is type in your home address, and you will get an instant free estimate of your home value online. It is a great way to be able to monitor the value of your home. And again, it's absolutely free. There are tons of tools to help you. For instance, if you want to remodel your home, go to HomeGain.com. Use their home sales maximizer to help you determine which home improvements can most increase your home values before you put it up on the market. For 10 years, these folks have been helping home sellers and buyers. Visit their link at InfoWars.com or go to HomeGain.com. Going back to Dr. Stan Monteith, let's continue with this occultic empire. You talked about their manifestos, micromanaging environmental brigades, one-child policies, the carbon footprint of children, the little carbon monsters, as the mainstream news is saying. What is their true manifesto? What will the world look like if they succeed, Dr. Monteith?
Well, if they succeed, they're going to kill off at least 90% of the world's population. And that really doesn't make sense logically, but then we're not dealing with logical people. They have an intense hatred of humanity, but they're not going to tell you that. But that's really what the plan is, and you can go to the great monument there at Elberton, Georgia, there, the Georgia Guidestones were put up by some secret group. Nobody really knows who it is, although we always suspected it was the Rosicrucians. But there they talk about, you know, maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Of course, you've done a great job in your DVD on the end game, going into the background of the
population. By the way, 2 days ago, just interrupt and back up what you're saying. 2 days ago, the Times of London had the headline, the chief environmental minister for Gordon Brown said they must reduce the UK population by half to 30 million.
And, of course, you know, we saw one of the most frightening things recently was where Baxter, you know, a well-known, well-respected company, actually put the H5N1 virus, the bird influenza virus, into the vaccine, the flu vaccine they were shipping out. And, of course, ordinarily this doesn't do any harm to people, but you start growing it in people and it can become pathological. That's how you can take a deadly virus, and deadly as far as birds are concerned, start growing it in human beings and condition it then to become pathological in humans. Why would a company like Baxter do that? Well, I'll tell you what. One of the best fiction novels I ever read was called Rainbow Six by Tom Clancy, and it's the story of how a group of people who wanted to kill off the majority of the world population, they patterned after the people in charge right now, actually created a vaccine. Actually, they were going to create an epidemic and then force people to be vaccinated. But in the vaccine was the entity, the pathological viruses that would kill off millions of people. And what frightens me, you know, Alex, is that so many people are gullible that they don't understand. They can put terrible things into vaccines, and you never know when you roll your sleeve up what they're going to be putting into you. We do know that they use the vaccines to produce infertility and sterility in women, certainly in the third world countries. We know that they put a cancer, causing vaccine and the polio virus. I mean, the polio vaccine was cancer-causing virus in the polio vaccine. And, of course, most Americans today still carry that. That's one reason why the incidence of cancer has gone up, and they've concealed that. But the story is beautifully told in a book that was actually authorized by the National Institutes of Health called The Health Century by Edward Shorter. And I hope your listeners will get that book and read it and understand that they knew what they were doing. And even after it had been exposed that there was a cancer-producing virus in the polio vaccine, they used it all up, and the woman who exposed this, her career was destroyed. They punished her for saving the lives of millions of people throughout the world. We're really dealing with evil people. When you understand that, so much of this makes sense. But there are treatments for cancer that are being suppressed today. That we have never done what was proper to stop the AIDS epidemic. We have almost 40,000 Americans die every year because of AIDS, predominantly blacks, because this disease is targeted at blacks. But you go into Africa, you can go into Botswana. In Botswana today, where we do routine testing on every pregnant woman. We don't do it in America, but we do it in Botswana because we want to see what a great job we're doing. And we get the figures from the World Health Organization, and actually we get them also from the U.S. Department of Commerce, because the Department of Commerce is over in Africa, checking on what a great job we're doing with the AIDS epidemic. 46% of the pregnant women in the country of Botswana today are HIV positive, and they're all going to die. In Zimbabwe today, where, of course, we installed the communist government there under Mugabe back in 1980, they used to have, you know, the average person would live to be about 64 years of age. Today, the average man lives to be, I believe, 36. The average woman lives to be 34, thanks to America's policies of helping the people. We're inoculating all the children in Africa today with vaccines that have mercury in them. We've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines in the United States, but we've left it in for the little black children in Africa because we're so concerned about them. And now there's epidemics, of course, of autism over there. And, of course, what people do not understand is this produces fertility, not only infertility, not only in one generation and the next one. We got a great talk on this by Dr. David Ayoub, who analyzed this mercury autism and the global population agenda, comes with CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages of scientific studies showing how toxic mercury is, and we are financing this. In fact, Bill Gates is financing this, you know, all throughout Africa. We want to help.
In fact, we cover that in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. Bill Gates' father is formerly the head of Planned Parenthood. He's on the national board. Gates is a eugenicist. We've got Bill Moyer's interviews where he talks about it. And then, of course, he's the one spending tens of billions to basically forcibly inoculate to the local governments by paying them off the children. And they've been caught in Africa, as you know, adding the pathogen, well, to the tetanus pathogen, adding this key hormone to cause an autoimmune response to that. And that's just one case of hundreds. And mainstream news and mainstream medical firms did the test and said, yes, this is sterilizing the women. So, I mean, you openly have eugenicists who are running things. And meanwhile, the HPV shots killing all these people here in the United States, and they just say, oh, that's just the way it is, and melamine's in the milk, the baby formula, and they say, oh, it's good for you now, and they say, oh, mercury's not bad for you. I mean, it's just out in the open. These are soft-kill weapons. Talk about that.
Well, we've just got to get the American people to understand that they're being lied to. The media is controlled. I mean, I remember 47 years ago when I got started, I think the thing that really got to me most was the realization that the media is controlled. And everybody in the media today, you know, the regular media will tell you vaccines are good for you, and they're not good for you. They actually, one reason why we have so much illness in America today, why our health, you compare, you know, longevity for Americans with people elsewhere in the world, and we do very poorly. We're down around 40. Why is that? Why? Because, of course, the one thing is the vaccines we're taking. They have a deleterious effect.
And by the way, doctor, you're a medical doctor yourself. For those, they always email me saying, we're living longer. We're living an average of 74 for a man, 76 for a woman. But when you look at the numbers, until the 20s and 30s, around a third or more of children would die by age 10, most of them when they were babies. But if you made it past that point and take out the child death and infant death, and of course you went to medical school on this, you can speak directly to it, but the numbers are there. If you take those numbers out, people are actually living to be about 82 years old. So, yes, we are living shorter spans.
And this is what the average American cannot believe, that they would actually suppress effective treatments for cancer, that they would actually create new diseases like chronic fatigue, like fibromyalgia, like Lyme disease, like AIDS, like the Gulf War illness. These are already, these are new diseases. In fact, the original young man who went over to the Gulf War to fight and, you know, bleed and suffer and die for our country to protect us. This is back in 1990, 1991. Why, those 695,000 went over there, almost 80,000 have already died. These are young, healthy people. They wouldn't die at that age, and you're not getting that. These figures come from the Veterans Department. We actually have their reports, but you're never going to see this mentioned in the controlled media. So they're really actively killing our people today, but the average person can't believe that they would be suppressing effective treatments that are for cancer available in other countries, but not available in the United States.
But when you understand
expensive treatments that don't work mm-hmm. and that make you miserable, and your chemotherapy, and you die miserable, but you don't live any longer because of it, and the effective treatments are effectively suppressed.
Absolutely. And I mean, I remember hearing this from doctors and medical people when I was in junior high, because my dad's a physician, and, you know, he'd have friends over, and I remember them go, you know, look at this medical journal. You know, this HIV is an engineered bioweapon. Yeah. I talked to a guy over at this center. Yeah. They're aware of that. They were in the research project. I mean, I remember being a kid because I'm only 35, when AIDS was first breaking out in the early 80s, and hearing medical doctors and people talking about how it was a bioweapon. And this is, you know, Nobel laureates have come out and said it's a bioweapon. They've done the studies of young women who've never had sexual intercourse. You know, they've been medically examined, but they all have HIV. And then they say, oh, maybe, you know, the BBC said, oh, maybe the inoculators were sharing needles, and that's how it did it. But then you look at HIV transmission, it's very hard to do it with a, you know, one-time needle prick that was infected. And, you know, in some of these villages, as you said, they're getting 80%, 90%, 40-something percent overall in the countries. I mean, this is a massive soft-kill weapon. For those that don't know what a soft-kill weapon is, speak specifically to HIV.
Well, basically, you go back and you can read what Zygmunt Brzezinski wrote about back in his book with Between Two Ages, written in 1970. Interesting. A test is to go up on the internet and try to get a copy today. They're really quite expensive, but you know, this was a $6 book. But there, somewhere in a footnote between page 55 and 65, I can't remember the exact one, but he talks about how in the future we're going to be able to create new chronic diseases, storms and droughts. He said 30 years from now, we'll be able to create new diseases. Well, that was 1970. It was just about 10 years later when we had this new onset of AIDS.
And then we have the congressional funding for the Army and the Navy to develop this weaponized cancer program that's autoimmune, that matches HIV.
Right. There's a wonderful book, and it's put out by a man named Don Scott. I don't know if you've ever interviewed him, but he's up in Toronto. He's 84 now. He's older than I am. But his book, AIDS, the Crime Beyond Belief, actually documents the actual formation of this. They had a special virus cancer project, a government project, where they hired scientists to create new diseases. And they actually created this disease, and he beautifully documents this. And, of course, what they will never tell the American people is that this is a dual disease. It's not simply the HIV retrovirus, but there's a mycoplasma along with that, which is why, of course, sometimes long-term antibiotics will help this, because you kill the mycoplasma, the HIV won't destroy you, but they're not going to...
So that's the main vector carrier. You know, interviewing yourself and other, literally over the years, scores of other medical doctors, reading government research files, where they admit that HIV also, they say it's always mutating. It's really just a cover for a bunch of weaponized autoimmune and cancer virus tests that they're doing all over the planet.
Well, unfortunately, you know, people are dying. I mean, they've lost 30 or 40 million people have died unnecessarily throughout the world from AIDS, and countless hundreds of millions more will eventually die. It's a very low-grade chronic disease, but eventually it does kill the people because it destroys the immune system. But as I say, it's a combined disease. It's a combination of mycoplasma and HIV, and they're not telling you that.
But don't the studies also show that it plugs in to darker skinned people, black people's genes, that the very couplers, and I've even seen mainstream news articles admitting that Northern Europeans, very hard for them to contract HIV?
Absolutely. That's why here in the United States, almost half of the people who come down with the disease are black, and yet they only make up 13% of the population. This disease is designed specifically to destroy blacks. But nobody wants to say that. There's tremendous racism in these wicked and evil people. They hate blacks, they hate Jews, but then they hate Christians, they hate just about everybody, except for the elite, who, of course, worship their God. But if you go to Africa today, and as I mentioned, you know, the testing in Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women are HIV infected. I mean, we don't see this very common in white women in the United States today, but this has a predilection for blacks, and you're absolutely right. They understand the difference in genetic structure, and they designed this disease to destroy the black population. We're dealing with organized evil. Until people understand that, nothing makes sense.
Stay there. And now the National Geographic Human Genome Project with IBM at Cold Springs Harbor, the head eugenics office, they're getting everybody to donate their blood, and they're taking babies' blood at birth and admitting they're developing race-specific bioweapons with it. Well, I'm happy to have Dr. Stan Monteith back on for 2 hours in the near future if he can do it. The website's RadioLiberty.com. Burmese has got some major breaking news. They're hitting us with so much insane legislation. A lot of it's passing, like national drafts and everything else right now. And the left is all just literally like on opium, just worshiping Obama, having no idea he's owned by the very same banks that own Bush and the same agenda. We got Russ Baker, Family of Secrets, basically how the Bushes controlled Nixon and a lot more. I already learned this from Tarpley and others in reading history, but it's interesting to see his big, thick take on even more detailed. So we'll be going over that for about 40 minutes. Then the mass grave story from Arizona. Got that fellow on that broke that at Infowars.com, Shepard Ambellus, for about 20 minutes. Then Webster Tarpley, speaking of him, will be on with us from Washington, D.C., but Jason Burmese has got big breaking news here in a moment. Dr. Monteith, I want to thank you for coming on with us today, sir.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to getting you on our program one of these days.
Yeah, I apologize that I have been not flaky lately. I've just been doing so much, I keep getting behind. But I believe I'm on is it Thursday or Friday?
Friday. We'll look forward to it.
Okay, God bless you, sir. I'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. There he goes. Burmese has huge breaking news. Now, I remember in 2002, before they even funded Homeland Security, Governor Ridge saying this on C-SPAN, you'll have to have a national ID card to have any job. Illegals, of course, will be exempt. They're already exempt from building the fence down at the border. I mean, they're exempt from everything. It's just, they tell the public, oh, it's for illegals. They've got a lot of bills to basically codify this into law, even though they're already, and they have the North American ID now they're telling everybody to get, running TV ads for that. Go ahead and give us this bombshell, Burmese.
Yeah, this is in the Give Act. This is Section 1710 of the Give Act, which is now passed through Congress and the Senate, and it is the study to evaluate the effectiveness of a centralized electronic citizenship verification system. And what's different about this, even bigger than a national ID card, this is for the kids, too. They're using the Department of Education and private corporations, any other entities they want.
Yeah, they're federalizing all the schools completely, militarizing them with little prison ID cards. They're taking over all education now. They're putting troops in the schools to recruit and threaten and brainwash them. That's mainstream news. The Real ID Act, a decade ago, you know, I made America's Story by Design. We show the executive order where it says, and they can implement it any time. It says blood and tissue will be taken when you get a driver's license. It'll be a face scan, a thumb scan, and it's federal. Now, they implemented the face scan, the thumb scan in all the states. Now they're bringing in the others. Now they're admitting they take blood at babies at birth without and put it in databases. So it's all happening. Tell folks about this bill.
Yeah, again, it's passed, folks. This is part of the GIVE Act. And they're saying no later than 18 months after it's enacted, these people are going to be before Congress giving a report. And they have the appropriations.
That's how they pass laws now. It says it gives them the law and the power for the agency to do whatever they want, kind of like the bill where the attorney general can ban any guns he wants. They just pass it. They're trying to pass it.
I got another story for you on that right now. They're now proposing a federal assault weapons ban because of that shooting out in Oakland where those cops died.
Yeah.
I got that news story for you, too. There's just so much news, Alex. These guys have appropriations, in other words, funding, from 2010 to 2014. This is really happening. And Section 4 of Section A of this says the information that needs to be shared in order to fulfill employment eligibility requirements, which means if you do not go along with the program, you will not have a job.
A federal ID tracking and tracing everything you do openly. They've already issued a North American Union card. And early last year, before it was even in World Net Daily, when Corsi wrote about it, we have a lot of employees, and the Texas Workforce Commission complies with the feds. It's really federal. And I got my letter saying you now don't report to the Department of Labor. You report to the new North American Bureau for the North American Union. I mean, it's all here. It's all total globalists. They've seized the government. They're taking over.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even say this is the government. They say corporation and the Department of Education. They're totally, I mean, I can't even believe them reading
They're transferring
this.
All power to private corporations and agencies.
Yeah, that's it.
Just like all the agencies can see PDD 51, but the Congress can't. Agencies tell Congress, sit down and shut up. Burmese, we're going to cover this more later when Tarpley's on with us. Okay, so I want you back in here and you'll be live tonight, 9 to midnight. Thanks for that report. Give folks the bill number real fast.
It is H.R. 1388, Section 1710.
Well done. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now simulcasting the last 2 hours of this four-hour weekday radio shows at PrisonPlanet.tv for all the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. I want to thank you for joining us and all of your support. I had checked into this book and seen really great reviews from a lot of researchers and historians that I respect. Haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's Russ Baker, Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, The Powerful Forces That Put In the White House and What Their Influence Means for America. And separately in my own research, you have Prescott Bush, tied in with the military-industrial complex, the main Nazi agent in the United States with the large banking combine here. And then you have him bringing Nixon in as a senator, setting him up. And then from the information that many other historians have brought out, like Tarpley, who, again, is not a, quote, right-winger, he'd call himself a progressive, the research that Nixon got out of control, and so they shot him down. Not saying Nixon's a good guy. The point is that was all a huge setup and also to weaken the presidency at that time. So the national security state could fully take over the executive, and that's what we really face today. So just an amazing book, and it is, of course, Family of Secrets. Russ Baker, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Alex.
It's good to have you here. Okay, we're going to break in a few minutes. This is a short segment, but tell us about yourself, your research. You told me that researching for this book kind of changed your whole political paradigm, gets into a lot of the shadow workings of things, and C-SPAN just covered it for Book TV that'll be airing soon, or was it live?
It'll be airing soon.
Yeah, I've been on C-SPAN too, they wait a few weeks to air it. So Family of Secrets, critically acclaimed. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Well, I've been an investigative journalist for about 20 years. I would describe myself either as an alternative journalist working in the mainstream or a mainstream journalist working in the alternative media. And I've worked written for publications varying from the New York Times, Vanity Fair, Esquire, to The Nation and The Village Voice, Huffington Post, a large range of different sorts of publications. I am a reporter, and I think that there are different books on these subjects. Some people consider themselves scholars. Some people consider themselves activists. I'm essentially a reporter, and I just follow the facts wherever they go. And I began working on this book about 5 years ago simply with the question, how did a guy like George W. Bush become the most powerful person in the world? I just found that to be a staggering proposition in and of itself, and I just wondered if there was not more to the story than we understood there to be. And so I began looking into him, and this led me to start examining his relationship to the people who backed him, his relationship to his father. And I really went down the rabbit hole, Alex. I discovered a whole new understanding of American history of the last 50 years. And that's really what I hope we have a chance to talk about.
Yeah, Woodward and Bernstein with Naval Intelligence and the Bilderberg Group control Washington Post, they daringly went after Nixon. America learned how to fight back against corruption. And then meanwhile, the shadow government really just got even more power and expanded their control. So I want to break this down after we come back from break, but continue in the time we've got left in this segment describing the book.
Sure. Actually, what happened was I'd been sent over, believe it or not, by the U.S. government to the former Yugoslavia, where I was asked to train journalists there in how to question authority and keep their government honest. And while I was working there, we had the run-up to the war in Iraq, the invasion. And people began asking me, what about your own government? How much do you understand about your own government, your own president, the decisions they make there? You're teaching us to do this work here. What about your own country? And as I traveled around Europe, I just was staggered by the extent to which the popularity of the United States had just plummeted. And I just felt I had to get back and get trying to answer these questions.
Now keep going.
Came back in 2004 and began traveling around the country. I came to Austin here. It was one of the places I came to. And I began just assembling groups of people for drinks and just said, hey, what do you think is behind this Bush thing? Is there nothing more than a guy this seemingly untalented and this uninterested that he could just get to the top? Or was there something else going on? All that heavy money.
We're going to tell that story that you compellingly document in Family of Secrets straight.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Russ Baker, Family of Secrets. We've only got about 30 minutes left with him. Then we've got a guest coming on about mass graves they're building all over the country. We got photos of it. And then we got Webster Tarpley joining us from D.C. Russ Baker lives in New York. It's great to have him here on such short notice. We found out he was in town and got him in. He was here for C-SPAN. Next time you're here, please come in for a couple hours because, the book is lengthy and the research is amazing. Go ahead and just run through it.
Sure. So basically what happened was when I got back in 2004, began traveling around the country, just asking open-ended questions. It might be what you'd call a real authentic intellectual inquiry. I had no agenda. I didn't know what kind of answers I was going to find. And that's the way I try to do all of my journalism. So one thing that I started looking at was George W. Bush's National Guard service. And I was intrigued by this because it appeared that there were some questions about his record, and yet somehow they were so effective as a propaganda device, his administration, his team, that they were intimidating the media. They were turning this against John Kerry, who had served in Vietnam. And I was fascinated by that. So I began looking at that. Out of that came a piece I did for The Nation magazine, which won a Deadline Club Award, establishing pretty conclusively that Bush had not finished, that he had gone AWOL, skipped the last 2 years of his military service, and that this had all been covered up. As I looked at that, I discovered that his father appeared to be involved in covering this up. Keep in mind, his father was the chairman of the Republican Party at the time that he was skipping out on his military service in Vietnam. Nobody ever asked a father, what did you know about your son's activities? And so I began to say, what is the dynamic between the father and the son? And we'd all been told that the father and the son were very, very different. The son was a real Texan, chewing tobacco, wearing cowboy boots. He was a different kind of a guy than the sort of stuffed shirt father. And what I discovered was that this rift, this purported rift between the father and son had been manufactured. That had been manufactured for the purposes of making the son electable because the father, as we know, was defeated in 1992. And they wanted the son to appear to be a different kind of a guy. In fact, what I discovered at Looking the Sun was that he'd been involved in a whole bunch of companies that have never before been reported on. Just one of them is called Lucky Chance Mining. These are very, very interesting companies. Somehow these have eluded all of the biographers, all of the reporters in the Washington Post, New York Times, and so on that did stories about George W. Bush. And these companies are very interesting, Alex, because they have all the hallmarks of being intelligence operations. None of the companies make any money. They all have funds coming in from offshore accounts, from Saudis, money connected to Ferdinand Marcos, to the South African apartheid regime, to the Shah of Iran. Very, very strange outfits. And so I thought, well, what is this guy doing? What is George W. Bush doing? He's in these very strange outfits. And this forced me then to start looking at his relationship with his father.
And then we have George Herbert Walker Bush. So you start out an investigation of Bush, and it leads you back into the family history. I mean, where did this guy, suppose he'd never been in the CIA, the senior, and then suddenly he's director of the CIA. And then meanwhile, they have ships named the Barbara, and there's...
the Zapata.
Yeah, exactly. Their oil company involved in CIA operations, Bay of Pigs. But yeah, let's get into the roots of it, because it's just amazing, especially the Nixon tie-in.
Right, right. So what I did was I began looking at the father. And when I looked at the father, I wondered, why would they make him CIA director in 1976? This is a guy who's a purported intelligence virgin, a guy who doesn't have any background in intel. They supposedly put him in because they're claiming they're cleaning up the agency. Frank Church has his church committee, which is investigating all kinds of abuses, assassinations, etc., and they bring him in. Well, the answer is Poppy Bush is the nickname for the father. I called George the younger one W in the book, and Poppy the father. That those are their nicknames, easier to distinguish between them. Poppy actually, it turns out, had a background in the CIA, not just 1976. I've got documents in the book where he's in the CIA in 1963 at the time of the Kennedy assassination, and he's in the CIA in 1953 when he starts Zapata and Zapata Offshore, and he begins. Traveling all over the world on business, even though he's got this tiny company with almost no justification for it. He's even putting offices in places like Medellin, Colombia, which is nowhere near the coast. I mean, why would you have an offshore drilling company that has almost no rigs with an office in a place like that? So I'm digging into the father. I discovered that the father basically had an entire secret life, that the oil man thing was a cover. Being a congressman was essentially a cover. The man he started Zapata with, a guy named Thomas J. Devine Jr., was a career intelligence officer, and he quote-unquote retired from the agency at the tender age of about 26 after they'd spent millions on him to go into the oil business with Poppy Bush. So this is the beginning, and then in Family of Secrets, I track this through very curious things about Poppy Bush at the time of the Kennedy assassination. He, by the way, has publicly said he cannot remember where he was.
But there's a CIA document that has a George H.W. Bush in the CIA and in Texas at the time, but they say, oh, that's another Bush.
Well, it wasn't another Bush. It was him. And
we have photos of him outside the school book depository. I mean, it's him. You can look at the photo. It's him.
One of the interesting things is that there are several memos. There's one from the day after the assassination in which the FBI is giving a briefing to George Bush of the CIA. There's another document from the day of the assassination where George H.W. Bush, clearly him with his address listed in a FBI document, he is calling in to say, I may know who has killed the president. And he wants to inform on a fellow. He says, I don't know much about this man. What I discover and I document in one of the four chapters of new material on the Kennedy assassination in Family of Secrets is that the man he was ratting out, at the very moment he was ratting him out, Bush's own assistant was going to that man's house to give him an alibi. This is very, very complex stuff, very deep stuff, very profound stuff.
Well, they always, in intelligence ops, just do random crazy things to create a fog and all sorts of rabbit trails. I mean, that's how they do the most slick operations.
Well, I encourage people to read that chapter very carefully and try to figure out what they think is going on. I try not to be bombastic. I try not to force people to conclusions. I just lay out facts. There are more than 1,000 footnotes in this book.
What do you think about the guy that wrote Fortunate Son ending up dead in a hotel bathtub? I mean, you kind of worried about being – because they kill people.
You know, all I can tell you is I'm healthy, I'm happy, and
plus that was during the campaign. They were really worried about it at that time.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm certainly not accident.
But I told the D.C. madam that I said they're probably going to try to kill you, and then privately she told me, "Yeah, I'm getting followed and harassed." But she's on air. She said, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm not worried." And they killed her. I mean, they really do kill people, and they're not very nice folks. But you got a lot of courage writing this book, all this original research, and it's being so well documented. Let's go back to the beginning, though. That's really intriguing. Where does the Bush power come from? I mean, obviously, Skull and Bones is the opium dealing cartel. They then make opium illegal so they can jack up prices. I mean, that's a separate issue. That's on the record. But going back to Nixon and that whole story.
Sure. One of the things that intrigued me was basically George W. Bush. W. would never have been president of the United States if his father had not been president. There's no question on his own he would not have made it to the top. So what I wanted to know was had his father made it to the top? And the answer was Richard Nixon gave him all of these opportunities. He was only a freshman congressman when he got on the short list to be considered for vice president with Richard Nixon in 1968. 1970, he ran for U.S. Senate. He lost. And he was immediately appointed the ambassador to the United Nations at a very, very delicate moment in American relations with China and so forth. After that, he's made the chairman of the Republican Party at the height of Watergate, and then he sent off his envoy to China when things get too hot on Watergate. None of these things he was qualified for. He used to make jokes to friends about it. They said, "Why are you? What do you know about foreign relations to be at the UN?" He said, "Ask me in 2 weeks." You know, he was going to bone up or something. Anyway, my question was, why did Richard Nixon favor Poppy Bush? And the answer, I had to dig all the way back. And Alex, what I discovered was that in the 1940s, when Richard Nixon first became a candidate for Congress from Whittier, California, that Prescott Bush, the grandfather, was actually in Whittier buying a defense contractor company. I do not believe this has ever been reported before.
Needed their representative, their man.
Well, they needed their man, but there was something else going on. There was a congressman, a Democrat named Jerry Voorhees. And Jerry Voorhees is the guy that Nixon beat. Now, they say that they ran Nixon against him because Jerry Voorhees was too liberal on a bunch of issues, including labor unions and so on. But the reality is that wasn't what it was. Jerry Voorhees was the number one guy in the House of Representatives who was worried about Wall Street. And what he was worried about was this was, you know, not that long after the Great Depression. And he was afraid that if there was no regulation and oversight of both the bankers and the Wall Street people, that we could have another crisis like that. And they were very upset about Jerry Voorhees. And basically the financiers, the group that Prescott Bush was part of, wanted him out. Jerry Voorhees even suspected this. And I found something he wrote where he said that he had heard that somebody was in his district looking for someone to run against him. He just didn't know who it was. And it seems that it was Prescott Bush because he was there buying that company in the district right at that moment.
Happens every once in a while. Our connection to the network just broke, but we're back up on the backup. Okay, good. Please repeat what you just said.
Sure. Nixon, basically they wanted him in there in order to beat Jerry Voorhees. Prescott Bush and his buddies were concerned about Jerry Voorhees' activities trying to regulate these powerful financial interests. Anyway, I think what happened was Richard Nixon was basically essentially sort of working for these interests throughout his career. They pushed Eisenhower to run for president. They pushed Eisenhower to put Nixon on the ticket. That's how he became vice president. Nixon then had the portfolio for covert operations, so he was deeply involved in all this stuff against Castro leading up to the Bay of Pigs. Then when Kennedy ran, of course, Nixon was out. They then stayed involved with him. And then when Nixon ran in 1968, they said, put Poppy Bush on the ticket with you. And Nixon didn't do it. And he angered Prescott Bush. I've got a letter in Family of Secrets where Prescott Bush says he made a mistake not putting my son on there. And what you see right from the beginning of the Nixon administration is efforts. And I document this in 3 chapters, all new information, efforts to remove Richard Nixon from office by these financial interests, oil interests, by these people in the intelligence community and in the military.
Stay there. The book is Family of Secrets. The author is Russ Baker. And I have to have him on the phone in the next few weeks for more than an hour. A little bit of time we have today, 40 minutes, he said he's going to do it. race through it, because again, I've done so much research, you've done even more, and to be reading through the book while we're on break, I just see so many amazing things, like the Bottlers Convention with Nixon in Dallas, when Kennedy's killed, just all the amazing photos and documents and letters that you've got in this book. Please continue with your discovery that they were setting up Nixon all along.
Sure. I mean, what intrigued me, and I have to say, by the way, that two of the major revelations in the book, one is about the Kennedy assassination and the involvement of the intelligence community in organizing it, and these curious coincidences in which George H.W. Bush keeps showing up in relation to that. By the way, one of those other coincidences is there was a family friend of George H.W. Bush by the name of George de Morenschild, and he was a white Russian emigre with intelligence ties. He also happened to be Lee Harvey Oswald's father figure. In the year before the assassination, this man practically organized all aspects of Lee Harvey Oswald's life. This is not mentioned very widely at all. You can find bits and pieces on him in a few other books and on the internet. But I've gone, I have a whole chapter on George de Morenschild. His nephew was a roommate in prep school with Poppy Bush. And so this man was so close to
there's E. Howard Hunt, who's now admitted to running the operation to kill Kennedy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sure. Anyway, so this Kennedy stuff, we don't have time here to go into all of it. There are four chapters on the Kennedy assassination with a number of figures associated with George H.W. Bush there, people who were in the lead car of the motorcade, involved with a very secret military intelligence unit in Dallas, headed by a man who was essentially Poppy Bush's running mate in 1963, and the man who got them to run for office that year, whose family was revealed to be a CIA-funded foundation. Anyway, it's very, very deep stuff. It goes on and on and on. I had always sort of not followed the Kennedy assassination. Most journalists like myself just know that it's just too much of a quagmire. So I said, all right, you know, maybe Oswald did it alone. Well, I have had to completely revise my thinking on that as a result of the research that went into Family of Secrets. Now, Nixon, you asked about Nixon. It's the same thing. I had always assumed that Nixon was just this sort of out-of-control president, the conventional story, that he was behind all of these things, including the Watergate burglary and certainly the cover-up. What I discovered in my research, and again, were the fingerprints of Poppy Bush, who was the Republican chairman at the time, at the height of the Watergate scandal, and yet he's not mentioned. You read those books on Watergate, Poppy Bush is never mentioned. He's not mentioned in books about him and books about Nixon. He's like the anti-Zelig. He just doesn't exist.
How did you get Bloomsbury Press? I mean, I know you're an award-winning journalist, but how'd you get them to, this is an incendiary book, and that's a pretty good publisher.
It is a good publisher, and I admire them greatly for being willing to show some courage and put out a book like this. A lot of my friends in the mainstream media, they said, you will never get this published, you'll never get it out. What our challenge is right now, Alex, is that there's a bit of a wall of silence out there. The New York Times has not reviewed the book, even though I have a lot of friends there and I've written for that paper. There was an attack on it by somebody in the LA Times, but generally silence. We have not been able to get onto most of the national
attacks
shows.
Are better than silence.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But generally a silence, and there's no justification for that. This book has, as many of the reviewers, people like Roger Morris, who's been on the National Security Council, Gore Vidal, they have all praised the book. They all say, you know, I mean, it's a revelation per page, stuff that even people like Roger Morris, who wrote an acclaimed book on Nixon, an acclaimed book on the Clintons, he didn't know any of this stuff, you know, and with all that, really, we should be out there with a major explosive bestseller, but we cannot get the traction. So what we're doing is we are going out over the airwaves with people like you who have the guts to get the story out through the internet, through YouTube, whatever we can do. And we're really trying to have a kind of a guerrilla movement to get word out, because 99.9% of people don't even know.
I've read the reviews of the book. I was intending to get it and read it. And I'd actually, a few weeks ago, given something to my producer, a sheet on it saying, let's get this, but we forget things. And just scanning through it, it's just an amazing book. And we've only got one more segment left coming up. But start getting into how they destroyed Nixon.
Sure. Well, basically what they did was, in the book, I reveal a series. In the book, I reveal a series of different operations that were precursors to the Watergate break-in. And the break-in, by the way, was deliberately so ham-handed. In other words, they were doing everything they could to get caught. And that's why they had these checks and everything that were traceable back to the Republican Party and to the White House. They were trying to set up Richard Nixon, but they were doing things before the Watergate break-in. And in Family of Secrets, I document those earlier unsuccessful operations to smear Nixon.
Just bizarre, but well documented, because a lot of other amazing researchers, not on this breadth or this focus on the Bushes, have you know, documented that separately. So I know it's true.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Do you depend on the grocery store for your food?
It's time to think outside the box.
How about starting your own garden? To ensure your future, you purchase the seeds. To get the most out of your investment, you need the fertilizer. Whether or not you have good or bad soil, liquidorganicfertilizer.com has the solution. It's called Agran Natural Fertilizer. This revolutionary fertilizer is a multi-purpose liquid fertilizer ideal for your garden to help grow the food you need and providing your seeds with life-giving nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. These essential nutrients promote vigorous growth, increased root development, and improve disease and stress tolerance. Enhance your garden now with the best natural organic fertilizer. Have a farm? The fertilizer works great for your hay and crops. Visit them online at liquidorganicfertilizer.com. That's liquidorganicfertilizer.com, or call 1-800-579-0580. 1-800-579-0580. liquidorganicfertilizer.com today.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he has told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com, or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-605-4229 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-605-4229. That's 1-800-605-4229. Again, 1-800-605-4229.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Family of Secrets, the Bush dynasty, the powerful forces that put in the White House and what their influence means for America. We're going to go back to that here in just a moment with our guest in studio. We're going to get to these mass graves they're building all over the country. We've had emergency managers on, journalists on, and the Pentagon admits they're doing it, and they do it by night. They go in and just put in all these big mass concrete graves outside large government cemeteries. They're getting ready for World War III or something? Who knows? We're going to be covering it. Photos are up on InfoWars.com. Also, I've been wanting to do this on air for one of our new sponsors, folks. I see that shot all the way across the room there. but it's not real. It's not real pepper spray. This is just an inert training canister. Where's the other one that shoots out all the... I know Burmese On Air did this to Jim Mars, and I meant for him to use the one that shot out the vapor. This... Oh, Burmese used the one that goes, the tester. But anyways, just pepperspray.com, great new sponsor, incredibly low prices. I thought this was the vapor one. I just shot inert goo all over the wall over there. Good thing I didn't aim it at him and shoot. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, we live in an unpredictable world, and everybody knows I'm all about preparedness. Remember, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's why I want you to visit our new sponsor, pepperspray.com, to check out their wide variety of personal security products they have available on their website since 1994. They have the lowest prices and the best products we've found anywhere. Give them a call at 1-800-908-9988. That's 800-908-9988. And, you know, I gripe and complain about police tasering people for no reason. I'm not against the taser or the firearms themselves, so every time I mention this, people go, what do you mean you don't like tasers? No, I want my wife with a taser. You know, it's safer in case somebody got a hold of it. But it would protect her if somebody was trying to assault her in a parking lot, and crime is certainly up. They got great deals on tasers, stun guns, you name it, pepperspray.com. So be sure and check that out. Okay, going back to our guest with the book, Family of Secrets. I'm definitely, Russ, going to have you back on in the near future, just over the phone from New York. I don't want to wait till you're back in Austin. This is just too important, just too much information that's got to be gotten out. Finish up with how they went after Nixon specifically, and I know that's only a small part of the book. It's just so interesting to me, and then cover some of the other things that are in the book that you bring up to current times.
Sure. What I see, a number of things. First of all, I studied the Nixon tapes, and what's very interesting is most of us have not studied the Nixon tapes, and we take the word of several so-called experts, I call them gatekeepers, who tell us that the tapes implicate Nixon. Well, the tapes don't implicate Nixon. If you look at the tapes carefully enough, you see that what they show is a guy who's completely befuddled. He has no idea what's going on. He doesn't know why in the world they did that burglary. He says, holy cow, it looks like somebody's trying to set me up. He does not know what's
going
on. That's
right. I've heard that. Absolutely. So.
And so what you see is you see a whole bunch of people. Again, we don't have time to go into here. It's all in the book, Family of Secrets. All of these people around Nixon who were infiltrated into the White House, who had intelligence ties. And that includes Alexander Butterfield, the man who revealed the existence of the tapes. That includes Jeb Magruder, who basically framed John Mitchell. That includes a whole bunch of these guys. Bob Woodward has a very interesting background. Dean has a very interesting background. His brother-in-law and lawyer had CIA connections. This is very, very important. And as I say, I think I break new ground here in showing all of these people and their connections to Poppy Bush, who's sitting in the catbird seat of intelligence as the head of the Republican Party at that moment where Nixon is taken down.
And they needed to get Nixon out so the family could finally, at that point, when they decapitated him politically, it would be the Bushes left in total control of the party to then project themselves into office, and then he ran against Reagan initially, then they threatened Reagan, so he put George Herbert Walker Bush on the ticket. Clearly, you have the shooter meeting with the family a night before, all those intelligence connections, getting Reagan under their control. These are some nasty people.
Well, in fact, you see that they push Agnew out, and they bring in Gerald Ford, who had been on the Warren Commission and had always sort of played ball with these guys. And Gerald Ford then brings in a couple of guys you may have heard of called Cheney and Rumsfeld.
And then they launch the continuity of government takeover plan, Rex 84, before it comes out in the 80s in the Iran-Contra, and it's all about we'll take over through national security, we'll do a CIA overthrow in the U.S. like we've done in the Third World, but in slow motion, and now today it's actually happening. And I have the L.A. Times. Every day I see multiple articles. Oh, the Marines are running checkpoints to stop drunks. Oh, the Army was out at the mass shooting. Oh, there's liaison officers in all the police departments. L.A. Times, Marines embedded at L.A. County Coroner's Office. Sorry, go ahead.
Sure. In any case, that whole segment, it fascinated me as I dug deeper and deeper. And then, of course, Ford comes in, as they say, and then they bring in Poppy Bush as the CIA director in 1976. I then discover a bunch of things that happened to Jimmy Carter. And I get into this in the book. And this appears to be yet another setup of a president they were not happy with. He was trying to essentially either reorganize or dismantle the CIA.
So they make a deal, just on record, because this is they make a deal to have the mullahs grab the hostages. They sell them weapons. I mean, it's Iran-Contra.
There's a lot of interesting stuff about the whole Iran connection. And by the way, right in this period, you see money moving, Iranian money, into companies that George W. Bush is involved with, the son. And so what I do is the first half, or maybe sort of two-thirds of the book, is mostly about the father, the grandfather, and this larger apparatus of these wealthy and powerful families that influence policy in this country that we really can't talk about, that control resource extraction in this country and around the world, which is the source of power in this world. You could say it's the entertainment business. You could say it's a Silicon Valley. It isn't. It's always going to be, until the lights go out, it's going to be the things that keep us warm, the things that allow our vehicles to move.
Raw material.
And that is what these families and these interests have controlled. In any case, the thrust of the book, and bring it up to today and why it's still relevant, is because these people aren't going away. I interview somebody in the book, a Republican official, and he says to me, let me tell you something. The intelligence community bring in their people into every White House. They make sure they have their people in surrounding every president. And they say, don't think that this thing is going away. So whatever you think of the new president, whatever you think of what he's trying to do, the reality is that he's limited in his movement. And he's constrained. He's got to please the generals. He's got to please the intelligence community. And he's got to please all of these interests. And so I think that the lessons in the book are very much relevant today. And I would encourage people to go to our website, if I may, which is familyofsecrets.com. Get some more information there. You can contact me. You can send me an email if you've got tips or information. I think we've got a mailing list. I hope people have a chance to read the book. It's a work in progress. We have a nonprofit website called whowhatwhy.com. We're trying to get this off the ground. We're looking for the public to support us so that we can put trained investigative journalists with serious credentials on these sorts of stories that the mainstream media will not touch.
Boy, you are asking for it. You got a lot of courage. You're a man after my own heart. In the few minutes we've got left with you, I just want to invite you back in the next few weeks for 2 hours over the phone.
Be happy.
Because this is so important. And reading literally hundreds of books, interviewing thousands of guests, trying to find the truth, not left, darkly I look through, not a right wing darkly I look through, but really trying to find the truth. It's clear Obama is totally controlled by this very same apparatus. And as much of a nice guy as he might be, it's a bunch of rhetoric that he put out during the campaign. He's now basically doing the opposite and protecting the Bush family and protecting the president from the crimes, the lies about WMDs, the torture, the police state, all of it. Can you specifically, because you were just alluding to that, to who is in the Obama administration right now and the fact of however nice we might think Barack Obama is, and I certainly wish everything was okay, but it's not. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Basically, where do you stand on Barack Obama and who's in his administration now? Because it's the very same players from my research.
I want to say, first of all, that I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think it's I like to give every president the benefit of the doubt. I think what he faces is this. I think he's a man who, as he rose, he understood the art of compromise. I think he knew how to play ball with the right people. I think he's got a mixture of people in his administration. He's got a few people who I think are very good people. He's got other people in there who I don't think are so good. And I think there's a lot of jockeying going on. There's a lot of back and forth. And the question is, who's going to prevail on the Wall Street bailout, on the kinds of people he chose to run the Treasury Department, kind of people at the Fed to keep Robert Gates in at the Pentagon. A lot of these things, I'm not sure they are encouraging. I am troubled by a lot of them. And I think that the best thing that I can do as a journalist is to hope for the best and be prepared for the worst and apply the same sort of scrutiny and vigilance that I have to the Bushes.
Well, Obama is not stupid. He's extremely intelligent. He knows that if he doesn't do what the military-industrial complex wants, that they're going to destroy him politically or murder him. And so the proof is in the pudding. JFK tried to have this mixed cabinet and tried to work with these people, and look what happened to him. So
Well, it's the same thing with Nixon. And, you know, they said Nixon was paranoid where he kept replacing people. That wasn't what it was about. He was trying to do his own thing. He had those, you know, back channel secret negotiations trying to break down the Cold War effectively. The same thing, it turns out, Kennedy was trying to do. And a lot of interests do not want this to happen. I mean, this country has such a huge military industrial complex. It's so much larger percentage wise than any other developed country in the world. And the amounts being spent and the fortunes being made every day on this stuff, they cannot afford to have a president who presides over a global peace. And so it is a real challenge for a guy like Obama. He may be a great guy. He may be an intelligent guy. But the reality is that the president of the United States, no president of the United States, is able to do whatever he wants. He has got to be realistic about these things. And he's hemmed in to a large extent.
Well, you're absolutely right. In closing, I bought into the propaganda that Nixon was the quintessential devil until, over a decade ago, I actually researched what happened to him. And he was obviously a flawed, power-hungry person. But compared to many other presidents, he was actually trying to be the president, and he tried to actually do a lot of good things. And it shows that the shadow government, the national security state, didn't like that. And so they wanted to make sure that the presidency was a kept position. And I just feel so sorry for the controlled left. It's almost like a religious sacrament bashing Nixon in the cartoons and movies and culture. And it's sad that they're just being completely conned and are missing the real power elite and the real evil.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that people of any ideological stripe are not open to facts, are not open to new information. And I mean, I think that the most compelling thing about Family of Secrets, I am told by people, is that I don't come in with an agenda. And I'm open to being persuaded that what I thought and what I understood, one of my friends, a journalist, when he looked at the book, he said, you know what you should call this book? You should call this book Everything You Know Is Wrong. And I was willing to accept the fact that the way that I understood the Kennedy assassination, the way I understood Watergate, the way I understood Jimmy Carter, Ford, George W. Bush, that all of these things were wrong. And I think what we've got to do is really open up a dialogue in this country where we're willing to just look at these facts. If somebody wants to come to me and point out that they're wrong, there are a few small errors in the book people have contacted me about. I said somebody went to Yale and he went to Harvard, but nobody has challenged the core most important facts, the documents that are in there.
That's right. In my film, The Obama Deception, you know, we get busy and we say Richard Imhoff, head of the CFR, it's Richard Imhoff. But the main facts are accurate, and I've done the research and going through the book, scanning, and everything I see in here is spot on from deep research that I and many others have done. And so you've just put it all together in one place instead of in 10 or 15 books, so people will get it. But in the final equation, and I cut you off earlier, and I want you people to finish up with this. You're saying, hey, these people aren't going away. Specifics on that.
Well, first of all, I think it's kind of funny. We like to think that as we do live in a great country, but we're a little bit naive about thinking that it's perfect. And we like to think that in this country, democracy works. In every other country, you know, we talk about banana republics. All these other countries have oligarchies and forces that tend to dominate the political situation. But it's naive to think that doesn't happen in this country. The reason we think it doesn't happen is because you can't talk about it. In a weird way, the press self-censors itself, and so we can't have these conversations. It's just not okay to
talk
about
it. Because we're America, and we're the good guys, and don't you say we've got a corrupt oligarchy or a shadow government or an elite. Now they're openly out in the open, setting up a classic tyranny. They've always had the velvet glove on, and kind of allowed the common masses to have basic freedoms. But now they are eroding and getting rid of that. I think because of the internet culture, they know that they've lost their illusion that, you know, America's perfect and, you know, only good guys are running it. And so I think we see a massive struggle now coming to a head. And I'm very optimistic that thanks to books like Family of Secrets and films and things that are out there, that we are starting to turn the corner. And I think that's why we see this thrashing by the establishment threatening everybody in an attempt to create a chilling effect. I mean, we had in the Private Federal Reserve rallies all over the country, and we got the Army document and called the Army, and they confirmed it. And they had the Army anti-terrorism squad watching us at all 38 locations, including Ron Paul in Houston. And I mean, that is third world. That is Nazi Germany. That is Russia. And that's happened to peace groups for a long time, but now it's much wider. and there's the secret police all over the place. We can't let that chill us. We've got to have the courage.
I agree, and I think that it is. There are some exciting opportunities. The internet, all of these things, podcasts and so on. The fact that I can come on here and talk about Family of Secrets. I think all of these things, I think the equation is shifting, and I think people that have traditionally held control, certainly the Bushes, and I go into this to some extent in the book, that the Bushes go way back. The great-grandfather was working for two different branches of the Rockefeller family at the turn of the 19th century. I mean, it's mind-blowing stuff. This continuity of influence and power is absolutely there. We need to talk about these kinds of things. We need to assert ourselves. If we live in a true democracy, we have to be able to do something about that and have a vigorous debate, get the facts out there. Getting the facts out there, that's the first thing.
Well, we're going to have you back on in a few weeks, if you'll do it, and go through the book in more detail. But folks should get it. Russ Baker, Family of Secrets, just an amazing treatise. And I can't wait to read the whole thing because just everything I scan is just amazing information. The way it puts it all together in a historical perspective and brings us up to current times. Fire out both the websites again for folks.
Yeah, I have familyofsecrets.com, information about the book or to contact us. And then our nonprofit investigative reporting site, whowhatwhy.com. Whowhatwhy.com. We are hoping that the public will support us. What we eventually want to do is get some thousands of people to support us with a small donation each month so we get a crack team of investigative reporters there. We are willing to look at any story, folks. Anything out there, we are willing to investigate using classical journalistic techniques.
That's
documenting
exciting.
Everything.
Yeah, this is the rise of the true alternative media. And the establishment is moving to try to regulate the web. In fact, it's being reported. YouTube is saying that China has completely blocked YouTube for 2 days. And then they have a huge list of countries that have banned most Western-based sites. And similar things with Internet, too, are now coming in here to end net neutrality and other things. As the New York Times said, gatekeepers in a kindler, gentler, controlled Internet for our own good. All right. Well, again, the book is Family of Secrets. Russ Baker, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Al.
You bet. We'll be right back with the mass grave. Stay with us. Well, for the next 20 minutes, we're going to have a very brave person, Shepard Ambulus, joining us from Arizona. The story is military-industrial complex prepares mass graves for U.S. citizens. We're getting all these emails pouring in from around the country saying, hey, they've got these in my town, Abilene and other areas. And it goes with all the plastic FEMA coffins, other reports that have been in the news, whether in Indiana, Illinois. FEMA says we need to prepare for mass graves. Is it for bird flu? Are they getting ready for World War III? This is being set up at a military cemetery in Phoenix. Let's go ahead and bring the man up. He's been out there taking photos and interviewing people. We've been putting calls in all day to the head of the cemetery. He hasn't called us back yet, but let's go ahead and go to Shepard Ambulus. Shepard, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. How's it going?
Good. Tell us how you first discovered this, what's going on there. We have the photos. We have the satellite photos. I mean, you caught them doing this deep into their operation. There's a bunch of other areas where they've buried these crypts.
Yes, absolutely. Well, my friend alerted me to this originally, and, he said, what do you make of this? And I told him right away, because, I'm familiar with the FEMA coffins, and also some concrete caskets in a cemetery in L.A., and basically we went over and investigated it, took some pictures. One of my friends ended up interviewing a truck driver that was part of the operation, and basically gathered from the truck driver after about 10 minutes of the truck driver kind of beating around the bush. He basically said, look, these are for U.S. military, and four caskets fit in each one of these burial vaults. And basically went on to say, he got paid an awful lot of money to do his job, and sounds like a little bit of a, bribe to me or something.
And I just want to explain to people, and then we're going to pick your brain on this. explain to folks that this is the way regular military cemeteries work. It's one coffin, one crypt, and then there's space around the graves. They're going in, digging in 10 feet, as you said. We have the photos of this, putting in all of these crypts right up against each other. So I guess this wouldn't be properly marked graves. This is not the way it's ever been done. And they're doing it at night, which is very, very secretive. And then it dovetails in with the FEMA plastic coffins all over the country, Georgia and other areas, confirmed from the company that sold it to FEMA. Centers for Disease Control massing these. I mean, this is like 28 days later or something. This is very frightening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is, I kind of got this to you guys a little bit late. I've been working on this, but absolutely, they've been working on it over the last 30 plus days. It's a large scale operation. I mean, semi trucks literally every morning, you know, they start during, it's still dark, you know, they start real early. Then they start lining up, literally bringing these things in and just unloading them all day long, stacking them in tightly together. The interesting observation I made was they actually went ahead and laid down what's called ABC or some kind of rock that's, you know, probably 1 to 2 inches in diameter on the whole base of this thing. And now I've done a little bit of research about mass graves in Germany and whatnot, and I thought this could be, you know, aid with the decomposition process. But basically is what I'm thinking is it's some kind of drainage system or bedding that was installed.
Yeah, stay there. And I wasn't criticizing you for getting into the project late. I meant you discovered it late in the project, so they're burying them empty. And putting a layer over it. You can see that from the aerial photographs. It's just huge complex and just unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. We'll continue with our eyewitness citizen reporter in 70 seconds when we start hour number 4. Jason Douglas just got news. He just talked to Ellis, the director of the Phoenix Department of Veterans Affairs National Memorial Cemetery in Phoenix, Arizona, 225-acre facility. Now, we know how they dig the graves. They're single-person crypts. They put the coffins in. There's space. You've seen Arlington Cemetery. You've seen it all. These are being buried. They never do that. Beforehand, covered up, and they're then setting them right next to each other. And these are crypts that can hold 4 coffins, or if you don't put people in coffins, it can hold even more than that. And our guest has done the math on this, Shepard Ambulus. And Shepard, we're going to go to you in just a moment, but I wanted to go to Jason Douglas, who does graphics, video editing, and producing for the Jason Burma Show and this show, along with Rob Dew, doing a great job. You finally got a hold of the director of the National Memorial Cemetery there in Phoenix. What did he tell you?
Well, he basically just said that this is completely commonplace, that they dig these graves ahead of time. They only get 2 days' notice once they know who's going to be interred. But I asked him if he could comment on who was actually going to be put into those graves or if he knew anything about the content of the graves. He wouldn't make a comment on that. He seemed like he had this pretty well-prepared speech. He didn't.
Yeah, it's just normal to have 4,000 graves. Just what we can count on the surface. That's supposedly normal.
Right, supposedly normal. He said everything was above board.
I mean, supposedly only 4,500 troops have died in Iraq. So, I mean, suddenly they just need all these graves.
Yeah.
And we're getting reports they're building these at military cemeteries everywhere.
Right. Yeah, we've also had reports in Abilene, Texas. We're asking people to write in online. I've posted some videos and shown the pictures online. People are making comments, so hopefully we'll get some more reports of other mass graves.
Yeah, because if we find more and confirm it, and it goes into the tens of thousands. Going back to Shepard, you did some math here, and you talked to some of the construction workers there, some of the excavators, about how many people can fit in just the graves that you saw, just the crypts that you saw.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, we know that according to what the official reports are, which are obviously a little bit skewed, but they're reporting, you know, like 4,500 troops have died in Iraq and whatnot. It's highly suspect that you got graves enough here for 4,000 people just in Arizona. you know, if caskets weren't used in these graves, you could probably fit 30 to 40 bodies in each one. So if you run the math times that by at least 1,000 that I know are there, you know, you have anywhere from 4,000 bodies to possibly 40,000 bodies just in this one location.
And then what are the millions of FEMA coffins all over the country? A couple hundred thousand just in Georgia alone at one site. And then we go up, there's the name of the company, you call them, it is a plastic casket, and they're just staging them for the CDC. That's obviously for mass plague. And then we've had government officials on, you know, inside source reveals FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago, Daily Newscaster. That was a month ago.
Yes, absolutely. And let me tell you also, Alex, there's a video that surfaced from another plastic company. I can't think of the name of it offhand, but you could probably find it on YouTube. It happened to be in Canada, just north of the Washington border.
Yeah, I've seen all those videos, and I need Kurt Nimmo doing a fabulous job to do put it all together. You know, grab the Daily Newscaster article, which he's already done. Grab the plastic FEMA. Somebody's got to dig up. It's six, 7 years ago, so it's hard to find. Headline, Rocky Mountain News, Governor you know, discusses or Governor says mass incinerators and graves ready for 15,000 a day, I think is the headline. I mean, I read that on air. We need to find that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, this is just kind of suspect. I have a feeling it's going on all around the country. And, you know, this is where we need to call for the listeners to really do some investigative research and let's see where these things are turning up all across.
Because if there is a big terror attack or something, a bird flu or a nuke, how come they were getting all these graves ready?
Yes, and another point I have is actually if we could track down the locations of these, if they're all over, then we kind of know that they're setting up for something. If they're just in certain locations, you know, what's that mean as well?
Stay there. More key questions and answers on the other side than Webster Tarpley. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Shepard Ambulus is our guest. He took the photos and wrote the story that we broke at Infowars.com. We appreciate him giving us that information. Send any other photos of mass graves, plastic coffin liners being masked, mainstream news articles where they said they're getting ready for all of this. It just goes on and on and on. Continuing, Shepard, with other points that need to be made here.
Well, you know, another thing that's noted is, you know, just the sheer size of the operation. There's several of these sections that were visible to me over the last 30 days. I know they've already covered up multiple sections, and they've already put the earth over it, and it looks just like nothing's there. There was about three of these sections exposed. You know, I would estimate that the sections are like something around like 800 or 1,000 feet by 1,000 feet, just packed in there. The way they were excavated is just perfect cut down a straight wall. I mean, everything's just to a T. It's obviously
now, that's not how they build National Cemetery graves. They're single coffins or crypts, and they have space in between the little white crosses. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And going back to Jason Douglas, Jason, again, you talked to the director of it. You said it sounded like it was all prepared.
He just didn't seem like it was out of ordinary that I was asking these questions at all. It definitely seemed like a prepared statement.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And, you know, obviously they're gearing up for something. We know what the New World Order is up to. And, you know, thanks to shows like the Alex Jones Show, you know, everything's starting to get exposed. And hopefully these criminals won't be able to continue with their plan.
Now, we're looking at some video here. I knew this video was coming in. Is this trucks delivering coffins, or is this Shepard's video? What is this we're putting on screen right now? Okay, Rob Dude just sent it to us. Is this the video you sent us?
That's probably my video, Alex. That's the first footage I had. We were just driving around through there.
No, it's good. This is very,
you know,
No, this is great footage. Don't apologize for anything. You're doing a great job. No, we now see the mass graves side by side, the containers. This is just incredible. Please continue with any other points.
I seen numbers spray painted on these things up to like 800. Obviously, there's over 1,000. I wanted to let you know something. When I went to, I'm highly aware of the New World Order. I listen to your show every day. You're a big inspiration for me. Being conditioned to all this and then going and actually filming it, I wanted the listeners to know that when I was actually filming it afterwards, I actually threw up because it was so gut-wrenching to view this and just to know what it is and just to know what they're up to.
It is disgusting, and I've gotten nauseous before as well to realize. Yeah. In fact, I got nauseous. I didn't throw up during Bohemian Grove because it was just a play, but that's what religion comes from, is the stylized ritual. And I was, in the crowd like at church, and the preachers are up there on stage. But the old men going, around me, where this was religious rapture, and it was a horrible vibe. And I know what you're talking about, just to realize, my God, there's things I didn't know about in this world. This world is a lot stranger than people know.
Absolutely, Alex. Yes, that's true. Yeah, and I mean, it just really hit me hard, and I decided, I gotta expose this. And I'm working on another story, and I'll let you guys know as soon as I get it more done. But this other thing's even more compelling than this. And I hope to get that to you guys as well.
Oh, man, now I've really, you've piqued my interest. Can you give us a hint?
Well, let's just say it has to do with United States post offices.
Well, we know those are going to be used as mass inoculation centers. That's been in mainstream news. Is that what it deals with?
Absolutely. And, let me just give you a little hint. Listeners can go around and check this out for themselves. I've been checking out various post offices in the Phoenix metro area, and let me tell you something. I came up with some startling discoveries. The barbed wire fences on these post offices point inward, just like concentration camps.
Well, no, that's what Congress has admitted, is that they'll use existing federal locations, and they'll use Walmart distribution centers as FEMA camps. That's come out in mainstream news.
Yep.
We reported it back when it was secret, and then a few years later it came out. Oh, they're prepared for mass inoculations, and this will be a staging area for you. And now they admit, oh, we've got FEMA camps, but it's to take care of you. We love you.
Yes.
And then, look at this article. Marines embedded at L.A. County Coroner's Office. See, it's always, oh, they're helping at drunk driver checkpoints in Southern California. Oh, there was a mass shooting. The Army was there helping, regular Army. Oh, they're taking over the public schools and making them military academies. Oh, it says the Marines are going to be embedded in groups in the L.A. County Coroner's Office, but just to learn about dead bodies. See, it's just, oh, they're just liaison officers in the police intelligence bureaus. What is it like, Jason, since you've been working here a few months? Because, you weren't too aware of the work we did here. Or I guess you were somewhat, I forget. But the point is it now really living it where you see it every day? I mean, we're not making this up, are we?
No, none of this is made up. It's just crazy to see, because you hear one isolated story, maybe two isolated stories, but when you start seeing the master plan forming together, that's when things really take shape and you realize, this isn't normal. And every time you talk to someone, that's all they want to play off. This is absolutely normal. We do this all the time.
Yeah, the Army's in Iowa going to do a door-to-door gun confiscation drill. The citizens are happy. We're going to practice locking the town of Arcadia down. Yeah. And going after guns,
business as usual.
The governor of Illinois announced the military is going to do gun sweeps door to door all over the state. It's normal. The Phoenix newspaper admits the police say we're ready to work with the troops against the American people. That was in the Phoenix Business Journal. It's just hundreds of these reports, and the Army War College says our new mission is fighting the American people. Meanwhile, in the nightly news, it's the troops are going to fight al-Qaeda. The troops will be on the streets to fight al-Qaeda. Or they introduce Obama's takeover as, oh, soup kitchens. And then you read the thing, it says law enforcement, 7 million person army. Jason Douglas, thank you for being with us and thank you for working on this report. It was great having you here. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
You bet. And I want to thank you for what you're doing, Shepard Ambulus. And we'll talk to you in the near future as this develops. We'll also post the video you just sent us in the article that Kurt Nimmo posted that you wrote. And we're going to add some of the plastic coffin videos and some of the others to it. Anything else you'd like to say in closing?
Not really. You know, just I encourage the listeners to do a little bit of investigating in their local areas, and let's see what we can come up with. And I'd like to give out an email address if I could, so people could also forward tips or information to me on this subject.
All right. Good to hear from you. We'll talk to you in the near future. Be safe.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
You better go with God. Okay, I apologize to Webster Tarver getting him on 15 minutes late. Always appreciate him coming on the show every few weeks to break down the latest Obama activities. You know, a year ago plus, when Tarpley, who I really respect as a historian and researcher, pioneering researcher, said Obama is going to totally roll out with national drafts and youth squads and a private army immediately, I was like, yeah, I know they want to do that, but it's going to be hard. And when he talked about how they were going to hype things up with, you know, with Russia and move troops in, I was like, oh, come on, and it happened. You know, he said months before 888, he said, Brzezinski and the Obama people are already in control of the Bush administration. They're going to attack Russia, and it happened. You know, all of this, and now they've passed in the House and Senate. They've got to bring it into conference now and complete it, but it's been passing by, you know, two-thirds majorities, you know, 300 plus to 100, 75 to 14 or 74 to 14 in the Senate. And it says compulsory service. I mean, and then when it's in the New York Times, they just say, oh, expanding AmeriCorps, like it's no big deal. You've got to go read the bill to find this out. They're openly announcing trillions more for the bankers. A bank of the world will pay our carbon taxes to everything. Tarpley, who's the main figure, you know, there's Jesse Ventura and KRS-One and Professor Griff and George Humphrey and Gerald Celente in the film, but the main voice is Webster Tarpley, and you know, the film is Supernova. It's the number one film on the web, bar none. You know, there's a few clips of bikini girls that are getting overall more visits, you know, 5-minute things, but for films, it's number one out there, and we've done reports on that and the Obama deception. So I wanted to get him on, now that he's seen it, to give you his review of the Obama deception, but also talk about all the issues I just covered. So first, Webster, you were right. You were 100% right. In fact, it's worse than what you said, which is hard to believe. Comment on what's currently happening and where you see this going in the future.
Well, let me say, first of all, I have to congratulate you for the Obama deception. You and your team have put together what is nothing short of a masterpiece. It's the best political documentary to come out of the United States in many years, maybe many decades. And I say that having seen quite a few of them. It is a tremendous piece of work, and I think it's just what was needed to crystallize a kind of vague unease that a lot of people have who don't really follow politics or economics. But it's a tremendous achievement, and if it's gone viral, then more power to you. And that's a big turning point, because we're about 2/3 of the way through the 100 days. I think the key thing with Obama is to checkmate him. It's to stop him, right? To bog him down. Don't let him get this cap and trade, a tax of $700 billion on production, because that's what this comes down to. Cap and trade means we're going to let the financiers run wild, but we're going to impose this extra burden on any kind of production, any farmer who runs a tractor, anybody who commutes to work, the whole realm of physical economy, as distinct from the crazy paper.
Yeah, this is the paper casino economy waging war on what's left of the real economy.
Right, it's Count Dracula draining your blood so that the derivatives can live and any kind of production, and therefore human life, can die. So we've got that entire thing. And then, of course, we've got this sort of fascistoid or neo-fascist compulsory labor corps and national service, as they call it. National service for the sake of Wall Street, because that's who you're going to be.
Stay there. And we pay our carbon taxes, now admitted in hundreds of papers, to the bankers who engineered all this. Webster Tarpley, stay there. Obama's starting to bog down. All right, Webster Tarpley's our guest. When you get the Obama deception, InfoWars.com, we've got both his books on Obama for sale with it, discounted at InfoWars.com. When you call the toll-free number, be sure and ask about those discounts. You can get those there as well in the combo, 888-253-3139. You see, if you attack Obama from a right-wing perspective, Rush Limbaugh stuff, that's all discredited. That actually makes his supporters support him more. in the false left-right paradigm. But if you go after him as an elitist, notice he always frames himself as he's fighting Wall Street. He's fighting corruption. He's fighting special interests. He needs his 13 million goons and a 7 million army. That's now in the New York Times to go out and intimidate Congress and the governors and the states. And we see, depending on the poll, 15 to 22 point drops now in the first 2 months or less of his administration. Exactly what Webster said was key to stopping. But then we know, and I can see this on all the cards, to get things going again, a new war or a staged terror attack so he can grandstand. And I know you're and Tarpley, you said this a year ago. We'd hear about austerity and how great it was, and we've got to sacrifice. It went from hope and change to I'm going to take it out of your hide for the bankers. So please speak to those points.
Well, Obama met with the Washington Post editorial board on the Thursday before the inauguration, and he said, well, the slogans now are going to be sacrifice, duty, and responsibility. And that means that you, as an individual, are required to sacrifice your health care, your economic rights, to prop up 1.5 quadrillion derivatives bubble and to keep these zombie bankers in business. I mean, you look at Wall Street, right? You've got Blankfein of Goldman Sachs, Pandit of Citibank, Diamond of J.P. Morgan Chase, Lewis of Bank of America, Mack of Morgan Stanley. Those are the big five. And they've got a very large part of the world derivatives bubble, the derivatives black hole. And if you're going to slap a $660 billion tax on production, because that's what it means, or you know, even just a lawnmower, a car, anything that you're going to drive, your commute, that's going to go directly to these leeches and lampreys in Wall Street. Those are, by the way, the same people who bid up the price of gas last summer. When gas was at $4.50 to $5, you were paying $1 to Blankfein of Goldman Sachs and Mack of Morgan Stanley. Just the two of them were getting a dollar for every gallon that you were buying. So now we've got cap and trade. Now, a lot of people have noted this has been one of the most severe winters in the Northern Hemisphere in a long time, but these fanatics are undeterred. These are Malthusian, zero-growth, genocidal lunatics. I want to cite an advisor to Obama's mentor, Gordon Brown, right, the British prime minister. There's an advisor to the British government who says 60 billion people in the British Isles is too much. We're going to cut that in half to 30 million.
Yeah, that was the Times of London 2 days ago, and we're seeing headlines in the U.S. and foreign press, babies are carbon monsters. And there needs to be a tax on having children. That's what the UN and others and the Malthusian eugenicists funded China to do in 75, first a tax. Then in 1981, it became law. They are now pushing, as we cover in Endgame, the one-child policy. And on top of that, White House to hunt for new tax revenues, Wall Street Journal. And they admit they're going to get rid of, for even low income, not $250,000 with two people in the house, $125,000 and up. But everybody, they're going to take away basically all or reduce all of the tax write-offs. So, I mean, he promised no new taxes. Boy, is he a liar.
Yeah, the carbon cap-and-trade carbon tax, it's the same thing, is essentially, he says it's going to be two-thirds of a trillion. It's probably going to be more like a trillion when you get done with it. A tax on production. So we have this situation where $10 trillion, supported by Obama, supported by Geithner, Bernanke, and Geithner is the key link between the Bush regime and Paulson and the current one. So $8 to $9 trillion from the Fed, $1 to $2 trillion and counting from the Treasury. So $10 trillion as a subsidy for the derivatives bubble and the zombie bankers. And by my count, the actual useful spending, which is mostly in the emergency relief area, there's some infrastructure, but not very much. It's about $300 billion. So it's about 30 to 1. $30 for the bankers for every $1 of crumbs that falls to us here below the table. And I want to congratulate you on what you said about the Limbaugh critique. Obama loves the Limbaugh critique. He can't get enough of it. He wants more. He wants Limbaugh to attack him more. Limbaugh this afternoon had a woman on his show. She said, I can't live on less than $750,000 here in New York because I got four kids in private school, and how dare you take away my money from the derivatives merchants, right? So this Obama loves, because the poor person who's living on 20 or 30,000 minimum wage jobs, two incomes.
Here's that, and it creates class in between the middle class and the working class, never realizing the elite. And Obama memos have come out that they are running against Rush Limbaugh. Long segment coming up. Stay there, Webster. Let's talk about how we further derail and shoot down this Malthusian agenda. Webster Tarpley is our guest. We're going to go right back to him in just a moment. But before I do that, I wanted to tell you about a few of the sponsors that make this radio show possible. Obviously, when you buy the books and videos and materials off my site, not just the films and books I've made or written, but all the other books and videos we carry, you support the other activists out there and researchers and true journalists like Webster Tarpley. Please get the Obama deception, and I'm going to get Webster in his own words. I don't know what he's going to say, but he's got great ideas how to get it out to people, to have viewing parties, show it at the library or school. This film is deprogramming Obama zombies, so the Obama deception at InfoWars.com. Also, SurvivalSeedBank.com. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow an endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. There have been times in American history, Pilgrim, for example, when seeds had the highest value of any barter item, even silver or gold. There's a war on against non-hybrid seeds waged by the global elite who want to control us by controlling the food supply. Governments are storing seeds. The UN is storing seeds. Globalists of every stripe are storing seeds into the Arctic Circle. Why do you think they're doing this? You know why. Control. Solutions from Science is trying to get seeds out of the globalist hands into the hands of the people, one seed bank at a time, one family at a time. Survival Seed Bank from Solutions from Science contains enough open-pollinated seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. Seeds in the Survival Seed Bank are hand-picked for exceptional germination rates. Order a couple of seed banks today while you still can, folks. SurvivalSeedBank.com or 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. And one more sponsor of the day I want to thank are the folks at pmemory.net. You spend all this time listening to the show every day, but how much of the information can you actually recall? Test yourself right now and try to recall the show aired 1 week ago. How about 2 weeks ago? And if you cannot recall it, then that's the point. School of Phenomenal Memory, pmemory.net. Proven results from lesson one guaranteed. No gimmicks or magic pills, just pure science and real training that makes sense. Memorize what you really need, such as names, daily information, new languages, and even entire books. Dramatically improve natural memory, attention, and thinking speed. Go to pmemory.net now and read hundreds of testimonials, download a free ebook explaining how pmemory really works, and get 10% off by mentioning me, Alex Jones. School of Phenomenal Memory, pmemory.net. Or click on the banner at InfoWars.com. And these are all great sponsors. I endorse them all heartily. We only promote things that you hear me endorsing that I've used and believe in. All right, going back to Webster Tarpley. Webster, earlier I made the point, and I was able to make the call on 9/11. You've made a lot of other calls. Just integrating the propaganda, the balance of power, how their agenda is working. He tried to get 13 million people out on the streets. You only got about 4 million. That was called a failure. That's still very dangerous because they're trying to double that number. Now they're moving. As you know, they just passed. It's going into conference now, but the House and Senate have both passed it. Total draft of everybody, basically. Military for 18 to 25. Unspeakable level. The liberal press, New York Times, no one's reporting it. They just say, oh, a new, new volunteer thing. Isn't it great? But it says mandatory. That's happening. So he is slowing. The juggernaut is slowing. The diversion of $165 million to AIG is a diversion, but it still showed that he'd written the executive order for the loopholes for all the companies, tens of billions in bonuses, and that the guy whose wife works in a big company for AIG, Senator Dodd, was saying he was against the bailout money being used for bonuses when he actually wrote the clause to mirror Obama. Then they started turning against each other saying, well, you told me to, well, you told me to. So speak to that. So speak to false flag terror and the big scandals. If the public's mad at 165 mil, what about 10 trill? And how we further get the word out and derail this guy.
Yeah, maybe we can start with this AIG. Obama has a glass jaw if you're attacking him from the left. And that's the key. When Obama had a healthcare summit, he wanted to ban the people who are going to advocate a single payer, basically Medicare for all or Medicare for anybody who wants it. And they threatened to picket him. And he said, oh, no, I can't do that. I've got to let you in. He didn't let them speak, but he let them in. Then on AIG, we had Bernanke in the Congress at the Senate hearing saying, I won't tell you who got the AIG money. This means the big money, the tens of billions. And then you had Cohn, K-O-H-N, this guy who's Bernanke's deputy, a couple of days later at the Dodd-Shelby committee, and he wouldn't tell who got the money. And that then exploded, and Obama had to cave on that one. So now we find that the big money of AIG, not the $160 million or $200 million of bonuses, bad as that is, but the $160 billion of derivatives bailout, remember this is the AIG London branch, their hedge fund, their financial products division, working with derivatives, credit default swaps and other derivatives, collateralized debt obligations, $3 trillion of those, more than the gross national product of France and any number of other countries. And out of that money, we find that $10 or $12 billion went to Goldman Sachs, always high on the list of beneficiaries, $10 billion to Barclays Bank in Britain, $10 billion to Deutsche Bank in Berlin and Frankfurt, and $10 billion to Société Générale of France. So foreign bankers that we know of get $30 to $35 billion of U.S. taxpayer funds in order to bail out their derivatives holdings. Now, you'd have to say, if Gordon Brown and Sarkozy and Madame Merkel are so concerned about these banks in their countries, why don't they bail them out and let the U.S. Alone on this? But you see, these are globalized investment bankers, and that's how they operate. So AIG, the business with the bonuses, is really a diversion, but it's also the fact that the culture, I think, is changing. And this has been, I think, in many ways, a watershed for Obama, that people are beginning to sense, some of the smarter people are sensing that Obama's a tool of Wall Street. I'll give you some examples. Paul Krugman, okay, Princeton Nobel Prize, he says the zombie ideas have won, and Obama is going with a cash for trash program. This is the Geithner bailout, the second trillion announced on earlier this week by Geithner. So zombie ideas, cash for trash, and it's all the same stuff from Paulson recycled now for the third time, says Krugman. Galbraith at the University of Texas, he says this is a massively corrupted banking system, and he basically says seize the zombie banks and put them out of existence, and he says increase Social Security pensions by one-third. Now, that's a step in the right direction. I would say double Social Security pensions, because you're not going to have a 401k and you're not going to have anything else. So that's already something.
And by the way, the $10 trillion bucks, and Bloomberg's reported this, would pay off 90% of the mortgages, massively increase Social Security because of inflation. So we always hear on the fake right-wing radio, oh, it's all about welfare. That's where all the money goes. That's a right. Tiny percent. Everything is right. Going to the offshore New World Order banks, who literally, as you said, are sucking the entire world dry and trying to put carbon taxes on industry to further enslave them, paid directly to the bankers. I mean, this is such an outrageous plan. How will they get away with it as it's already stalling without staging terror attacks? Webster, I feel one. Talk about that. I think they're about to hit us hard.
Well, we're going to have this. We're going to have a 20 to 30 foot fireball here at the Key Bridge across the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. this afternoon. Now, I don't know whether this has gone off yet or not, but they say it's for a film, but people driving along, you know, the George Washington Parkway on one side of the Whitehurst Freeway on the other here in D.C., they're going to see a 30-foot fireball in the middle of the Potomac. It's supposed to be some ships, some small boats, and one of them blows up as part of a movie, I think, for CBS. Yes, that's very, very much in the air. Anyway, these left liberals, Krugman, Galbraith, Grider of Rolling Stone, typical left liberal.
He wrote a book attacking us. He wrote a book last year attacking us, saying there's no New World Order. Now he writes a thing called The Big Takeover and says it's a power takeover by the banks. What is that flip-flop?
Well, what they're trying to do, of course, many of these people, Grider, I think, is a good example. He's trying to have a fake opposition that will be controlled so there won't be a real opposition. You can also look at Madame Stassinopoulos Huffington, right, the rich elitist oligarch out there in California with her Huffington Post website. She's attempting to become the fake controlled opposition to the Obama regime. And I guess there are various Air America personalities in the same ballpark. Frank Rich of the New York Times says that AIG is Obama's Katrina. So you see the idea. Yes, I think there is a grave danger. We know that with Obama in office, the door to false flag is now wide open. And you've got, for example, they're meddling in Sudan. They have indicted General Bashir of Sudan for crimes against humanity, basically genocide. And you've got this venomous vampire, Susan Rice, at the United Nations. This is an apostle of extermination. This is a woman who was implicated in the great genocide in the Rwanda, Burundi, and Congo, Uganda area in the mid-90s. And now she's back. She's very influential with Obama, and she's leading the charge in the United Nations to overthrow the regime in Sudan. And of course,
and you predicted that a year ago. You predicted that they needed that black face to go into Africa. Going back to false flag terror and continue with your analysis, do we get the word out about false flag terror? I mean, what are your ideas to counter this? Because clearly they need this to continue the agenda, and every time their agenda stalls, they stage terror attacks.
Yeah, look at the question of Sudan. I mean, what I think is likely is that the next round, whenever that is, will come equipped with different targets, naturally. I think Sudan is a pretty big target right now.
Do we see the Pentagon already saying that African terrorists are going to hit our bases in Africa or the Middle East or the U.S.? So I agree with you. I see them saying, now we got to invade Africa. The terrorists hit us.
And, of course, the secret is that China gets 6, 7, 8% of their oil supply from Sudan, and that's the reason. It's got nothing to do with humanitarian stuff. You also have to remember the reason that the genocide, there is undoubtedly genocide in the Sahel region of Africa, all across the southern edge of the Sahara, but that's because there's a world economic depression. What do you think happened to those guys when the price of gasoline went to $150 a gallon? I mean, they've got to have gasoline there too, right? If their trucks run on the same thing as tractors or trucks anywhere else. So the depression, and I think that's also got something to do with Mexico, the internal collapse of Mexico is also it's a feature of a world economic breakdown crisis and global economic collapse, which
yes.
is going on and on, and it's not influenced
well,
by...
Well, we've seen Iceland fall, we've seen Argentina fall, we've seen three nations fall or partially fall in Eastern Europe. Are you seeing that accelerate?
Well, I think so, and the problem is we don't know. I mean, the average for the last 10 years is that 40,000 people die in the third world every day of malnutrition, starvation, and diseases like diarrhea that can be cured for about 50 cents.
And the carbon tax, they admit, will double that.
Yeah. I saw an item on the Internet lately where somebody said if you try to bring Africa up to a U.S. or European standard of living, what would that mean? And some journalist says, well, you can't do that. That would be bad for the planet. In other words, you simply can't have development in Africa and South Asia if you're going to have this lunatic obsession with global warming, which of course is a pseudo-scientific fraud developed by Al Gore, not even by Al Gore, but by these circles around Prince Charles.
Club of Rome.
We're back on them. Yes, exactly. Club of Rome and all that. This guy Holdren, I want to point to somebody that he deserves more attention than he's getting. He's the White House science advisor to Obama. And he talks about something called de-development. In other words, countries that have reached the level of industrial society have to go backwards. And if you're talking about taking an industrial society and pitching it back into a post-industrial or non-industrial one, which is what is largely happening and has happened in the United States, the implications of this are genocide, because you get a situation in technical terms where the relative potential population density of the country falls below the population. So it means there's an overhang that can't be sustained of people, of us, the rest of us. Holdren talks de-development. There's an interesting article in Forbes where they talk about the Central Valley of California, right? It's one of the greatest agricultural production areas in the world. If you've ever been down there, the Imperial Valley, El Centro, California, Palm Springs,
and they say
California.
1 degree in temperature increase will wipe all that out, when all the studies actually show it'll increase yield.
Yeah, then this is making the desert bloom, making the desert into just a tremendously valuable area of agricultural production. The commitment of the environmental fanatics and Malthusian elitists and basically genocidalists in the Obama regime is to shut down agriculture in the Central Valley of California.
Because when the banks bankrupt everything, they get to consolidate power.
Right, and there's but in addition to the banking, which is the main thing, of course, that's what holds this whole thing together. There's also the element of a fanatical anti-human ideology. That is to say, as you quoted before, a baby is a carbon machine. That is, a human being is nothing but a source of carbon pollution. I mean, that gets you into the area of high crimes against humanity, the Nuremberg Code, and all the issues of...
did you see the other environmental minister in England say, your waterfront footprint's too big, and so we're going to restrict everybody's water, when everybody knows England is one of the most water-rich countries in the world and have never even charged people for their water usage because right. It's such a wet aisle. Here's a microcosm. Eight years ago, Enron documents came out later. They, in some days, would make $1 billion in overcharging. They had fake energy trading boards they would show the congressmen that would come through on tours. And they said in their memos, we've got to double and triple prices just to have profits. So we will turn the power off an hour a day to create the illusion of artificial scarcity so they'll accept a jacking up of prices. And now they're doing that with water in California. The environmental groups have shut off all the reservoirs for, you know, some fish or darter, some made-up snail, some kangaroo rat. And listen, I've been to smart growth conferences, Webster. They brag there it's a scam. I wouldn't even call them fanatics. These are just criminals.
Absolutely. But it's an anti-human ideology, and I think people have got to get down to very basic things. Are you in favor of human civilization and human society, yes or no? If the answer is yes, then other things become less important. But if you really think that human society has to be run for the alleged benefit of polar bears, snail darters, horned owls, and indeed wolves, or God knows what, sharks even, then you've really put yourself beyond the pale, and again, you're in the area of the Nuremberg Code, because to deny any population group essential food, shelter, clothing, medical care, this is a high crime against humanity. This was the issue at Nuremberg in 1945.
And now the UN has said they will vote for caribou and roaches, and so it's really about people outvoting the general public, saying they represent animals. Meanwhile, there's all sorts of real environmental degradation that they use the phony environmental movement as a smokescreen for.
Yeah, naturally, questions of pollution, are real, and they're questions of real toxic pollution in many parts of the world, including in the U.S., but the question of clean water and clean air for human beings is not what these people are about. They're essentially about the idea of turning the clock back to the Dark Ages.
They say neo-feudalism serfdom them, and Tarpley's done his separate research, found the same findings. I've done separate research, found the findings. Dr. Monteith, I mean, this is the truth we're telling you. Final segment with Webster Tarpley, straight ahead. Stay the course. We'll be right back. Infowars.com. Those of us that love freedom, human decency, creativity, honor, we have to stand against the evil, as Thomas Jefferson said, because all that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. That's why I'm turning the heat up. I'm going to make a whole nother Obama film in the next 2.5 months. It's going to come out July 4th, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you the name of the film next week and the details. I've already written the film, collating the latest data into it. Get the Obama deception today. The Obama deception, Webster. I want to close the show out here because on the phone you've just been ranting and raving about it, and I'm really pleased. You don't usually just hand out compliments like this, and I respect your view. You also consulted and are in the film. And I've heard your own radio show a few Saturdays ago. You were going over it. In the last few minutes, how important is the Obama deception? How effective? Because it doesn't come from a left wing or right wing. It shows the big picture, as you called it, reality. Reality-based information, which is so rare today. How effective is the film? How should it be used? What should people be doing mobilizing with the Obama deception and then passing along your books as well as documentation?
Well, again, it's a masterpiece. It's the best political documentary to come out of the United States in, well, decades, I guess. And right now, it's also timely. In other words, this is the moment to lose these illusions, because you've got these opinion leaders, right, the various Krugmans, Galbraiths.
And it ties him now to the bankers. It shows he's establishment, not anti-establishment.
He is. He's not the New Deal. He's the anti-New Deal. He's not Roosevelt. He's the anti-Roosevelt. He is a puppet of these characters, Blank Fine of Goldman Sachs, Mack of Morgan Stanley, Diamond of J.P. Morgan Chase, Lewis of Bank of America, and the
and he
the
needs
people.
To be to be attacked by the right wing. That empowers him.
Right. That gives him left cover. In other words, what has changed now is that the crimes of Bush were conducted under right-wing cover. 9/11, war on terror, bring it on, all the rest of this nonsense. Now with Obama, it's not any of that. I'm Obama the savior. I'm the messiah. I have left cover. And for example, he's a much more effective union buster. One of the things he's been talking about lately is busting the teachers union here in Washington D.C., in New York, and Chicago. He's got this union buster, Arne Duncan, as Secretary of Education. That guy's going to try to destroy every teacher's union in the U.S. because they're determined.
Well, this is what corporate looters do. All their new taxes are going to destroy the mill, the real economy, the middle class. The bankers know that. They want a fire sale. They want, just like they go into corporations and use naked shorts to drive them down to buy them up, these guys are piratical wreckers.
Right, and the... Of course, the idea is that they're well advanced into destroying the UAW. So we're going to go from the traditional American economy is a high wage economy, and that's exactly what you want: skilled labor, high quality, high value added, energy intensive,
complex economy. Well, in closing, specifically, what should folks do with the Obama deception?
Well, obviously, buy it, distribute it according to the conditions of sale, right, and get it out. And try to build this into a backlash, because we're getting Obama's getting bogged down. I wanted to mention the Group of 20 next week, right? There's the summit of the Group of 20. It's time to ban derivatives, to shut down the zombie banks, and to deprive Obama of his left cover. The thing that occurred to me, Alex, is we have the Cannes Film Festival, the Venice Film Festival, the Berlin Film Festival, with the Golden Palm, the Golden Lion, the Golden Bear, and I'm sure other parts of the world too. It seems to me that this has a world dimension. In other words, there's a world market.
Yes, the film is going out worldwide. Webster, we're out of time, but Webster's going to be in studio with me this Sunday evening in town for the second Obama film here with shooting, and in studio Monday co-hosting with me before he goes back to D.C. So, Webster, I will see you this weekend, my friend.
Congratulations again on the Obama deception, and everybody should buy it.
Thank you, Webster. Let me say bye to you as the show ends. Retransmission with a ton of guests starts right now. The Mass Grave Stories, how we open the show. Stay with us.